participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
WPGC FM Morningside.
WPGC presents another 2-hour special on Those Oldies But Goodies. Your host, Scott Shannon.
Hello and good Sunday evening to you. I'm Scott Shannon. Let's get the oldies started off with Mr. Presley. WPGC, Elvis the King, a little thing called Now and Then, There's a Fool Such as I. Scott Shannon with Those Oldies But Goodies. Here's one I've been meaning to bring in for a couple of weeks now. This is Mr. Gene Pitney in Town Without Pity. Now, this is a weirdo from way back, 1956. If you've never heard this song, it might scare you. It's Clarence Frogman Henry, and I Ain't Got No Home.
Oh, no. Ain't got no home.
WPGC and the Sunday night 2-hour oldies show. I'm your host, Scott Shannon. Our next gentleman was born in Rio de Janeiro. His lifetime goal was to become a world-famous singing star. He worked his way to being the house singer of Brazil's leading nightclub, Caneco. He then moved to the United States to make the big jump in the early 70s. He flopped. He was just another face in the crowd in America, so he moved back to Rio de Janeiro. He'd only been back home about a year when he wrote and recorded the biggest hit of his Brazilian career. The song was so big of a hit that RCA Records in the United States purchased the rights to it in America. It went on to become a million seller, staying on the charts for over 4 months. His name was Morris Alpert. WPGC, the oldies on a Sunday night, Constance Trencaro. This girl, like many other stars, got her start on the Arthur Godfrey radio show. Had her first hit record in February of 1958. Her last one in 1965. One of her hits was written by Neil Sedaka, a song called Stupid Cupid. This was one of her big hits called Everybody's Somebody's Fool. This is Connie Francis, WPGC, Scott Shannon. Till midnight tonight. Let me take you back to 1960. This record was number one for I don't know how many weeks. And boy, it's a very popular record. It's one of the songs everybody sings when they're riding around the car, you know, a little juiced up, having a great time. And we were out on a date in my daddy's car. We hadn't driven very far when that's... you get the idea. That's Mark Denning, a Teen Angel.
Shut up, stupid.
WPGC and Shannon with the oldies till midnight tonight. Let me take you back to 1967. One of my favorite Smokey Robinson and the Miracles hits. The love I saw in you was just a mirage.
Damn it!
WPGC. PGC and the oldies. Occasionally I get a call from the listeners, call the station, ask me if I've ever worked in Buffalo, New York on WKBW. Well, the answer is no. But the reason people ask me that is because there's a disc jockey for years up there by the name of Tom Shannon. He later made a switch. He works in Detroit at station CKLW. Part of this little story is that while Tom Shannon was in Buffalo, he produced records on the
Elvis
side.
Elvis Shannon.
When he wasn't on the radio doing disc jockey work. In the spring of 59, he took a young group of local musicians into a studio.
This was around the time
instrumental record,
that we were breaking into the master tape room.
Only he could ever have. The name of the group, the Hot Toddies, the song, Rockin' Crickets.
He would come in on Sunday night, have a couple of drinks.
Yeah. Let's get some more Presley on here. One of his biggest. His first two-sided hit. One side, Hound Dog, and this is the other side. Don't Be Cruel.
Anyway.
Wow.
Side.
Anyway, there's some Michael
Scott Shannon for you.
He was either extremely tired or he was loaded.
Yeah.
Very tired.
Tired. Midnight.
Very tired.
How are you, Scott Shannon? You might remember this one. It was a good one to... I just want to go home.
Two-sided Elvis Presley.
Yeah, one side was Hound Dog, and This was the other side of the PGC.
You know, that is a long way. And I don't know where Rob found that tape, but that's from 1980, which is right around the time that I was working with the guy with, wow. with the story that I told the other day.
Right.
And when he would fill in as a regular DJ, when he wasn't doing his Sunday night, I'm on at 10 o'clock, so I'm going to play whatever I want.
Right.
His delivery was much more like you hear in the other tape that we
what
have.
What was he, 10 to midnight on Sunday night?
Yeah. Normally it was like, you know, WPGC.
Let me punch
this
it.
Is Super Champ. But on this
How
night,
are you? This is the kind of radio I've always wanted to do.
You get deep into it, there's a little bit of take a breath before you talk, Scott.
Real, well, that usually.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'll play my favorite songs.
WPGC.
See, here's a song that's the flip side of the other song.
Hope you enjoy it.
Joe.
So you want to set some parameters today, Joe?
During low budget Jeopardy?
Yes.
You can call in with cell phones, but you have to be at home or at work. You can't be in your car.
I love it when we look behind the scenes.
It is exciting.
Now, listen.
See what the rules are.
Here's the deal. It was 1 week ago today that we were doing much the same show that we're going to do for you today. just with some of the gags in different spots.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the Jeopardy bit, Mike's bit.
Right.
And the first part is Mike does the bit, and then we ask dumb questions. And it's really just a way to facilitate. God, I'm really over-explaining, but too bad. It's a way to facilitate more hijinks
right.
between, you know, the character that has walked into the room.
Whoever that's character.
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 And the questions are really inconsequential, but at the same time, they're made to be amusing, so you can play along at home, because really, a dead retard could answer the questions. Last week, we had two contestants on the telephone. And they could not have been more, with no offense to any cavemen listening who do ads for Geico, you know, Jap Attack. No offense intended to any Orientals as far as
I'll have the duck,
the
mango salsa.
I've lost my appetite.
I don't have much of an appetite.
Yeah.
So, when you run a commercial 7,000 times, you remember it.
So the deal is that we get these two apes on the show last week.
You're going to win some mo when you go to the stove.
And this one idiot, this one monkey,
yeah.
this one guy who should have been living in a forest somewhere.
Had, right.
You know, Tarzan has got his two-way radio on. I don't know.
It was a communication truck for some sort of, you know, I hate it when sounds go off.
A two-way radio in the background.
It's like nobody, is that your new phone already?
No, that's my old phone that I forgot to turn off.
I thought you turned it off.
I thought I turned it off, too.
No coughing, Joe.
Oh, my right. God.
You turned it off
what,
to take
Mike?
My picture.
Nothing.
You turned it on to take my picture.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
Hold on. We're getting to parameters with Joe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The deal is that we had these two callers who were just idiots. They couldn't answer the simplest questions. You know, dumb people are great. I'm a dumb guy, but I'm not calling it to play a stupid game.
Right. Especially a game that would be, you know, as dumb as the questions are, though, a brain teaser game.
Yes. Yeah, so anyway, said to Joe, you know, every phone line is ringing. Got 20 lines ringing with people wanting to play the game. Mm-hmm. And God knows how many untold other tens of people who are calling and getting a busy signal.
Right.
So you say, this is the best, the cream of the crop
yeah.
that you can get.
It was truly astonishing. I don't believe in the entire time we've been playing that game on this show, we have had dumber callers.
So, Joe says, it's the parameters. Now, I go back and I ask and I find out what's going on. And apparently, this has now been a hierarchy from producer to producer to producer to
passed
producer.
Down over the years.
Now, I understand, with no offense to our current producer, Rob Spiewak, who's working on, incidentally, his second six-week contract with us.
Oh, Rob, that's wonderful news.
Congratulations on that. You know, I think everybody knows that the buck stops here.
Mm-hmm.
meaning that they're producer in title only in this puppet government that we have. They're all good paper pushers, and they're all good, behind-the-scenes people. But really, you know, I do the show, and Mike does the show with me, and that's pretty much the way that it goes.
Right. And when was the last time, seriously, you even paid attention to that little detail back there?
Never.
That parameter.
Never.
That parameter.
So here's my point. Because you have these producers, all of them hardworking, and many of them who've gone on to fine things, and many of them who've gone on to not so fine things.
True.
They all have, I'm sure, a level of frustration that they're the producer and title of the show, but it's not like a lot of people picture.
No.
It's not like we sit around before the show, and for instance, Rob, our current producer of the last 6 weeks.
Right.
I love speaking about him like he's some new schmuck that's just joined us.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for hiring me.
Yeah. Not like Rob and I sit around and he goes, okay, now here's the plan. You come out, you've got your monologue with Mike.
Right.
Then I think you should really, turn and talk about Oprah.
Uh-huh. Here's your script.
And then after that, now we're going to have a phoner, and I think you guys should take this direction with it. It don't work like that. It's just whatever comes out of our mouth.
Right.
So there's a level of frustration, and I understand it with the producers that we've had. And I think with some of the producers, because they desperately want to produce.
Run something.
But they're not allowed to. Uh-huh. They can go back in the back room, and they can make life for Joe and all of the previous Joes a living hell.
That's right.
By telling them that the parameters for Jeopardy had to be such that really you couldn't get on the real Jeopardy.
That's right.
If you were trying, first off, you had to be on a landline.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that was a parameter.
Now, this was a parameter. Mm-hmm. We didn't know about this.
No.
Jesus Christ, everybody calls from a cell.
Mm-hmm. These days, yes.
You just check and you see if it's a strong cell and you stay on the phone with them for a second. If it goes away, it happens. Mm-hmm. But you can generally tell if it's strong or it's weak. So that's one bad parameter Joe was given.
Right.
Here's another one.
The thing about the cell phone is that parameter made sense when it was instituted 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. When people didn't know when cell phones dropped out a lot.
Exactly.
Right.
Here's another one.
Right.
Name the Great Lakes.
Where'd that one come from?
Now, again,
our questions are never that.
We ever find the author of that one?
Again, I'm not. Oh, that's Spiewak.
Really? You did that?
I think it goes.
It's an easy one.
Oh, I thought it went back farther than that.
Yeah, but he may have contributed it before he was actually the producer.
That's possible.
I mean,
yeah.
I screened a call or two in my day.
That's right.
But that was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not that answering that question correctly would make you a bad contestant. It's that you probably could have. Did those guys answer the Great Lakes question?
It sounds like a typical Rob question. Well, can you answer this?
You ask that of
Rob Spiewak, friend O listener?
Even if they don't answer the Great Lakes question, it's a good gauge if they get some of
right. Rob, I got to disagree with you. No. Great Lakes is too tough. Here's the thing for both of you guys. Jesus Christ, I really do have to do everything.
What's so great about them anyway?
Here's all we ask for, Joe. And I know I speak for Mike in this regard and everybody listening. Just get two people. Just, you know, how tough is
it? Who can speak?
To pick up the phone and say, hi, how you doing? Do you want to play the game? Do you listen to the show all the time?
You do it with callers all the time. You listen to their tone. Right. And if they're being mouth breathers, you know right away. We know right away. Everybody on the show knows right away.
So, Joe, the parameters are this. Just right. Yeah, no mouth breathers.
That's it.
You know, we don't have to give people a goddamn SAT question before they're going to come on and tell
us. Or even more broad than that, you just say, "Are you like the show? You listen all the time. Are you a fan of like game shows? Do you like to play?" And if the guy is like, "Yeah, I just do," you hang up. I don't know if the guy goes, "Yeah, I like this. I think I can play the game pretty well."
Joe,
right?
How are those parameters working for you, buddy?
I'm going to ask him what the capital of Florida is. Those parameters are great, and let's not forget the parameter of fun.
Now, hold on. What do you mean by... And remember, you can't spell fun without F-U.
I don't know. Somebody wrote it for me and put it in my lap.
Let's not forget to have fun.
Who wrote that, John?
No, Johnny didn't write... Who wrote that?
I gave him that.
Oh.
I thought he might need something at the end, and I thought it would be clever if he said, important parameter... is fun.
Now, hold on. See, first Buzz...
Well, Buzz has the delivery.
First, yes, it is much funnier with Buzz's delivery.
Of course.
Second...
He's a trained professional.
May I mention to you that you're on this side, Buzz?
Yeah, I know.
Now, come on. I don't need you feeding lines back there to them.
But see, I thought that would help this side.
Obviously it didn't.
Clearly it didn't.
How did he get it back there?
Yeah, that's a good question, Rob.
You didn't see me get up and leave while you were talking? You know, we skirted by a beautiful moment on the show, which I hope everybody that has ever had an employee that they've needed to lecture might have missed. What? And that was when we got done with that very concise and I think accurate description of what we required of Joe, that he said, right. And it indicated to everyone, I believe, that was listening and in this room, that it did not register.
No, I said, right. This is how it will be.
All right, so we're not going to have a problem today.
So how is it going to go? Just kind of recap what Don told you.
Well, people will call. I'll ask them how long they listen to the show, if they're familiar with the game, like I always do. I'll go through the rules.
Oh, no, not like you always do, because if it was like you always did, we wouldn't have had those two mongoloids we had last week.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it probably shouldn't be anything like you always
do. Well, there were extenuating circumstances due to the parameters that I was formerly aware of.
Oh, my God.
Here are the new parameters, Joe. Give the phone to John.
No.
I know something.
What?
I know that Joe didn't get laid this morning.
Perhaps you're wrong again, Spiewak.
Well, maybe that's the problem.
Did you, Joe?
Well.
No, you didn't, did you?
Yes, I did.
Then you did?
You got laid again.
Trace had the day off.
Then your new limit is once a week.
And only after 7 p.m.
He does not get it.
All right, now I can tell Joe that you don't want to give up this responsibility. And
I
say,
I will do better.
I say, good for you. This is like a boy on a paper route.
He'll do better.
This is like a boy on a paper route, and the papers have not gotten there on time, and Mrs. Krebs has called to say that her paper was in the bushes, and I'm going to take the account away from you, but no, we're going to give you one more chance to get on your bicycle and go out with your copy of Grit. Which really now is, I mean, if anybody gets that joke.
Yeah.
Well, without Mrs. Krebs' account, I won't get the box of Christmas cards.
If anybody understands what Grit is, let me just say, how are those Depends working out for you? Jesus, H. Christ. Joe?
Yeah.
Just do better. Chill out. Life
is a breeze.
Of course, somebody's 100 miles an hour to get promoted up to hurricanes.
I just thought I'd pass that along.
You ever wonder about the club?
Don't worry about the club.
Don't worry about the club.
It's been a long time since we played that tape.
Joe?
Yes.
Look forward to working with you today.
That's right. I will do better. I'm inspired.
Yeah, you're right, Rob. Sometimes it is like Tom Gavin.
But he got laid. We are working with a higher octane
show.
I'm
afraid I can't agree with that. Based on Buzz's news story yesterday, that you are more relaxed if you give a speech after getting laid.
Right.
This is a man who cannot be more relaxed.
Perhaps too relaxed.
He wants to move in the other direction.
Yeah.
All right, ciao.
Good day.
Okay, good day.
By the way, did you know there's www.grit.com?
Is it still for a magazine or a newspaper for boys to sell?
Stories of American Life and Tradition.
Wow, it's still around.
Are they hiring?
Bye, idiots.
Good day.
Good day. I'm locking the door.
Honest to God, put a bolt lock on.
Thanks, Buzz.
You bet.
Buzz sending one-liners over there.
That was quite a laugh Buzz had back there. That's more than he normally offers.
I like this.
I was entertained.
The next time you're going to send him a joke,
there won't be an
indicate that there should be that air of sarcasm that you had when you delivered the lines.
It's too much work. It's just easier not to do it.
WPGC, Shannon with the oldies. Let me take you back now for a number one song, April 1960, Percy Faith.
Is that? Wow, that's tight.
Yeah,
he's a better DJ than that.
Yeah. Yes, he sure is.
He sure is.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
You guys are great. I love you. What I'm wondering is, did you hire Rob Spiewak because of his outstanding work on The Wedding Show?
The Wedding Show. Absolutely.
Award-winning.
The Wedding Show.
God. The Wedding Show.
The Wedding Show.
Hey, come on.
I took him out.
You don't have him yet.
You had your little wedding show IDs?
Not in the computer anymore. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello, this is Chili checking in on the iceberg.
Now hold on a second, dude.
You making a reference to this lineup on the station like Don made yesterday, looking like the Titanic?
But you said you were chilly.
That's right.
Yeah, what is that joke? Explain it. It's not funny, explain it.
Wendy's hot chili or what? I don't get it.
I just wanted to check in with you guys and let you guys know that I'm still out here. And I know that you're heading my way. So I'll be looking for you.
Are you calling from the perspective of the iceberg?
Correct.
I see. So he's kind of a good...
Oh, so when you said you were chilly... I am
the iceberg.
Okay, I understand.
Okay. So when he said he was chilly, I thought he meant C-H-I-L-I.
Right.
And actually he meant C-H-I-L-L-Y.
Right.
He was chilly,
no,
but he,
that's what all my friends call me.
But he never indicated...
No, it's a terrible joke.
...that he was the iceberg.
Yeah.
I think you got to bring it out. I think you got to dispatch him. I really do.
You know what this
look
is
how much
like?
Work we had to put in to explain this.
Son, you know what you're like? You're like a herpetic horse. You don't want to do it, but you got to.
Right.
Have you heard about that? I mean,
no.
This is all
horses
I have been,
with herpes?
This is all I have been reading about. Every day in the sports page, they have a little column on the second page about Pimlico up in Baltimore and about how a bunch of... Like, I can't believe I haven't brought this up yet because the news is so old in the horse racing circles that... An incredible amount of the horses at Pimlico have come down with herpes.
Oh, my God.
And
well, they're so promiscuous.
And now it's spread to some other racetrack where, like, two horses have croaked because of it.
Oh, yeah, because in horses it can be fatal.
And and in people, too.
I understand those horses wouldn't take their pills every day, too.
Well, it's such a hassle.
They thought it was a hassle.
They're sugar cubes. There will be sugar cubes.
Wow.
And horse gonorrhea, how's that? I mean, is that a problem as well?
Does anybody have, I bet there's something, I may have read it in today's, dare I say we have the Washington Post anywhere here?
Sports section?
Yeah, I think so. I know I've read about it and have had it in my notes to talk about it.
Sure. Horse herpes.
The fact that all the horses at Pimlico have herpes.
Man, oh man. Well, even if you, like, won the Kentucky Derby, you couldn't kiss the horse then.
Right. You shouldn't.
You don't want to really kiss a horse anyway.
Well.
Depending.
I've kissed a few. I know you have, too.
Hello. My name is Mr. Ed.
I know you have, too, Buzz. We've all done our share of horse kissing.
Yeehaw.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, cello.
Yeah, you guys are great. Hey, I just... Agree with you, Don, about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they'll win, but you just got to hate their stupid announcer. That guy's got the squirreliest voice in the world.
Myron Cope is, if you're speaking of Myron Cope, Myron Cope is retired.
Oh, yes, he's not announcing anymore?
There you go. Why talk with that herpetic horse about the fact that it was highly publicized
easier.
That Myron Cope retired last year? Why waste valuable time?
What was Myron Cope? Was he the radio or PA announcer?
He was the radio guy. I mean, I know you would know his voice if you heard him. Okay. I know you'd know it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I think you're a hypocrite.
Why did he retire? Did he change his...
That's right.
Hold on. I am a hypocrite, yes.
Did he change his middle name to Couldn't?
Well, I think you're a hypocrite because you don't want to talk about American Idol.
Myron Couldn't Cope?
So he had to quit.
Hold on a second. I was Mike, now stop making me laugh when I'm trying to get in a discussion with one of my peers.
I know. So this guy is...
I am a hypocrite, yes. Go ahead. Let's bring it on. Go ahead.
All right. Well, you don't want to talk about American Idol.
Right. It's for faggots. Hey!
But you talk about football. You afraid you're going to lose listeners talking about American Idol, but you talk about football.
Okay, just... One moment, my dim-witted friend, before I put the gun in your mouth.
Yeah, it's down at his side. I see it.
Before I put the gun in your mouth, please understand, I didn't bring the talk of Super Bowl up. One of our wonderful callers did. I engaged them as I would engage any caller.
You wouldn't engage American Idol.
Yes, we have engaged.
Talk about it.
Very emotional.
Now, listen to me, Secretariat. We have, in fact, talked about American Idol after it's been on both days this week.
Yes, we have.
We even played the tapes.
Well, your secretary's Rob. And have a good day.
I what?
It's not worth it.
Something.
See what happened?
Now I'm just firing in the air.
We had him. He was right there. He was right there. And he got away. I hate it when they get away. Oh, that kills me when they get away like that.
Mm-hmm.
And your secretary's Rob. I have no idea what he was talking about.
Well, I can't get through to the offices back there.
May I get you a cup of coffee?
Danish. They got Danish there.
Danish? Good Danish.
Oh, here you go. Laurel Park cancels racing because of herpes virus outbreak.
Wow.
Unable to round up enough horses to fill races, the Maryland Jockey Club yesterday was forced to cancel racing at Laurel Park.
Wow.
For this week and Feb 4 because of the outbreak of the herpes virus that has led to the quarantine of all horses stabled at Pimlico Racecourse.
So this is apparently quite serious in horses.
It's serious. It sounds funny, but it's serious.
Yes, it's serious in humans, too. Before you get a chance to say that again, when I sound like I'm diminishing it, don't worry about it.
If only horses would wear rubbers.
That's right.
Now, I've seen the movies, but I don't see why.
I've seen them.
I don't see why we just can't make horse rubbers to stop this.
Is this what causes saddle sores?
Oh, God.
Good night.
Thank you, everybody. I'm here all week.
Goodbye, Rob. Goodbye. Let's see. It's never ending, the fallout from herpes, horse herpes.
That's true.
January 5. That's the first time they found a horse with herpes at Pimlico.
Wow.
Let me see. We were drawing for Sunday. We finally hit a brick wall with our entries. By 1:30, we had 3 fields made. We had 8 horses, and 2 had 6 horses. That's the best we can do. They could only come up with 14 horses to race who did not have herpes.
They give any details about what the virus does besides, like, obviously,
well, it makes their balls itch.
But obviously, they can't race. I mean, you know, people with herpes can, besides that thing on their lip, they can walk around and do their thing.
I think maybe the horses get it on their
privacy.
I think so.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, people can work, obviously, with that in the human world, too.
Yeah, but, like, you don't see our sprinters at the Olympics. I mean, imagine if you had herpetic sores all over your genitalia, and you put on one of those real skin-tight suits, and you're going to run real fast.
Probably hurt.
Wouldn't the friction, like, make you go, ow?
I would think it would hurt, yeah. But usually, you know, you can cover yourself up. Why don't they just put, like, some Speedos on the horses?
The burning might make them run faster.
Yeah, really. I mean, as a matter of fact, if anything, soak them in lemon juice before they run.
Just another reason to be proud that you're from Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Be proud that you're listening to this show on 105.7.
Even the horses have STDs.
It's amazing, that city. What is the deal?
What a shame at all these horses. They all got the herpes.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's going down?
Maybe we could send Cal down to the stables to talk to the horses.
What's going up? What's happening? I mean, what's going down? You know what I meant. I mean, come on. What's up?
All right, well, herpes doesn't always have symptoms, right? So you said that if you die from herpes, but you don't know you have symptoms, then they could just lose all the horses or put them all down.
Hold on, I don't even know what you're saying.
What's your point?
What did we say, or did I say that I read? I don't understand your point. Please start again.
Right. You said earlier that you could die from herpes, right?
Horses have died from herpes.
Horses can.
Horses have.
Yes,
so
horses
have. Isn't it true that herpes doesn't always show symptoms?
In humans.
Humans.
You know, I am sensing a dickish tone to this telephone call. Why is that?
Oh, no. I'm not being a dick. I'm sorry if I'm coming off that way.
Please.
Okay.
Thank you. He handed me the gun.
Take that!
He didn't get away.
We will be right back. Stay there.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I believe in taking care of myself. In a balanced diet and a rigorous exercise routine. In the morning, if my face is a little puffy, I'll put on an ice pack while doing my stomach crunches. Then I apply an Herb Mint facial mask, which I leave on for 10 minutes while I prepare the rest of my routine. I always use an aftershave lotion with little or no alcohol, because alcohol dries your face out and makes you look older. Then moisturizer. Then an anti-aging eye balm, followed by a final moisturizing protective lotion.
Today, I had this thrill of going to the dentist. Now, you guys all go to one dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, Dr. Dana.
And Mike has mentioned this. He's a dentist. They like to play tricks on you when you guys get there.
Yes, and everybody that goes to that office has sex before they leave.
That's right.
It's an amazing dentist's office. It is the most sexually charged environment you will ever find. It's phenomenal.
I wish I could say it was the same at my place.
No?
But it's not. And I went in, and they had called and sent me the card saying, you know, you're over 6 months. Please come in.
Right.
So today is the day, and they call yesterday, and they leave the message on the machine like, you know, hi, it's Dr. Don't forget, do we have to call you back again? Don't forget.
Right.
Because I'm kind of famous for breaking these appointments.
Yeah.
So we show up today, and I think everything's great because I just have the chick who kind of looks like Cloris Leachman in high anxiety.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
My, oh, my.
And I'm sure that, I've got to go back tomorrow, so I better be careful what I say.
She's not Cloris Leachman in the last picture show, right?
No, well, Mike, really, I mean, what Cloris Leachman reference are you going to...
That is a dated reference.
Right, you got to pull up and say, well, you know, no, she was hot when she was on the Mary Tyler Moore show. She was married to Lars.
No. Topless in the last picture show.
Yeah,
though.
Topless in the last picture show.
Wow.
Maybe. That was a young... That's when, right. Seriously, that movie is so old. When that movie was made, I believe Sybil Shepherd was a teenager.
Yes.
Yeah, like 18, I think.
That's how, it was made in the 1800s. That's how old that movie
that is.
Before anyway. She was syphilis.
I got to go back. Yeah, that's right. Syphilis. That was
but any time you mention Cloris Leachman, I know you're talking about a handsome individual.
Mm-hmm. Right. So she's the woman, and she wears actually the little, you know, the little dentist hat that the chicks can wear sometimes.
Right.
You know, they wear like those little, like, almost waitress hats.
Like
really?
Like a nurse cap almost?
Yeah, almost.
Like a nurse cap? Or is she wearing like the hairnet?
No, it's her wrap, though. I mean, like, they all the chicks, all of the, the attendants, they all dress differently.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
Some of them wear like what looks like doctor coats, but they have underneath, you know, whatever. You know, the dance skins, leather,
right.
Whatever, nothing.
Leather.
You know, she dresses like a professional. She's got this little white, like, pillbox thing on her head. And so I sit down, and she says, been a long...
I don't think they have those anymore. That's very cool.
I think it's more of a fashion statement. Because she also has, like...
She wear white hose?
Well, I got to go back tomorrow.
So yeah, I know.
She also has, like, the Catwoman glasses. But they're on a gold chain around her neck.
Right. Jesus. How old is this lady?
Mike, I think she's... she's 29.
No 20, kidding.
Must be.
1929, I believe. Where she was born.
Is she like Joan Allen in Pleasantville or what?
No, God, you know what? I got to go back tomorrow. She's a lovely woman. She's about 50.
But is she wearing the nurse's hat?
Yes.
They don't wear those anymore.
You're allowed in the dentist's office. You're allowed to wear anything you want to wear.
But a nurse's hat is like 1940.
Mike, not every time I go in, she has this outfit on. This is what she had on today.
She's dressed like in white.
She had on a lavender top underneath what appeared to be like a lab coat.
Okay.
And she had the glasses, the Catwoman glasses, on a thing around her neck. And
this is the receptionist?
No, this is the hygienist.
Oh, the hygienist. Okay.
The hygienist.
Oh, all right. There we go.
Well, now why am I verifying this?
I somehow pictured this woman at the front desk.
No. The girl at the front desk was nude.
Nude. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that relax you at the dentist's office, or would it?
No.
Maybe it would excite you.
That was today's choice. Again, real smart.
Yeah.
Say that to myself.
You're going back tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm using my outside voice,
mm-hmm.
like Caliendo said. not my inside voice,
right.
My outside voice. So she says... Open up, and I think she's just going to do all the stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it starts out beautifully. I mean, she's given me the whole, we haven't seen you here in so long, and I hope everything's okay. And then she starts just cleaning a little bit, and they get that camera going down there. And she says, I want to tell you something. And I always get my balls busted about flossing. She said, it is obvious that you are flossing. She's beautiful job. Look at this picture. So you know, you're looking at this thing, which to me still looks like the inside of a garbage can, the inside of my mouth. You know, anybody's mouth. You're at the dentist, and it's magnified.
Right.
And I said, oh. She said, no, it's looked much worse. She said, really great.
Fantastic.
Just let me check out these teeth, and the dentist will be in. And she said, just tell me if this hurts. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm golden.
Yeah.
Because she says, no cat, you know, everything's good.
A plus.
No cavity.
Everything's looking good on the surface.
Looking good. Uh-huh. You flossing, no need to bust my ball. She goes, she's got that pointy, sticky thing.
Yeah, right. Hook.
Right, yeah, a hook.
Same thing she grinds the teeth with.
Right.
Same thing she scrapes the enamel off.
She goes right back to the corner, right corner. She's, oh.
Or the tartar, is right, that what it is? It's not enamel.
No, you want to keep that.
If you scrape the enamel off, there might be a little pain.
Yeah.
We're just going to scrape this.
She says, oh, I remember these teeth back here. She says, we've had a problem with these. She says, does this hurt? And she barely, just barely touches one part. I go, you know me, Mr. High Threshold of Pain. Yesterday I was trying to make a point on the show about how I feel passionate about radio and really hit my hand on the console and lost my train of thought, and like I was lecturing about how passionate I am about what I'm doing. It's like, oh, hurt my finger. Ow! Screw what I'm saying. So, I mean, this hurt.
So you began to levitate when she when she hit the certain part of your tooth?
So wow. she goes, Dad, and I go, I give her one of these things, and she says, okay, you're going to see the doctor. Hold
no!
on.
Uh-oh.
So he comes in. I'm sitting down, and he is a good guy, been the family dentist for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Comes over. I'm laying in the chair, and I'm sure he doesn't mind me saying this. He lays the guilt trip of guilt trips on me about having missed time at the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
He says, because I just feel his hand on my shoulder,
uh-oh,
and he says, from behind me, and I'm just laying there waiting for him. That doesn't sound too queer. I'm just
right.
laying there waiting
for him. Spread eagle.
Just like our dentist.
He comes and he goes, my condolences. We haven't spoken. I hope you got the note. I said, yeah. Thank you, because I've still got, like, those cotton swabs
that right,
rolled up things in your mouth. Right. He says, you know, it's been 10 months, almost 11 months since you were here. You came with Frieder together in June. You know, we've sent you notices to your home. We've sent them. We really, you know, your teeth are important.
So he lays a little of the condolence thing on you, and then right into the guilt trip.
And I'm not exaggerating on the stellar impression.
Mm-hmm. All right. You seem to have neglected your regular appointment.
It's very important you come in. Now, I know that when Natalie was looking in your mouth, that we had a sensitive area. Now we know that this is an open wide. Tell me, does this? And I go, ah! He says, well, takes his gloves off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm out of the woods. And he says, he takes a little mask off and he goes, now he turns around and looks at me and goes, we've been through this before. This is the situation with these teeth.
So you've got a problem area.
Yeah, it's a tooth that, you know, he's wanted to fix for a long time. And he said, now look at this. This is now impacted. I'm going to have to take, we're going to have to take an x-ray, but I'll tell you right now, this is impacted. And what we're probably going to have to do is finally go with, you know, give you the implant. And we're just going to have, there's the root there. You're going to be in a tremendous amount of pain. I said, what are we going to do? And here's, well, we're going to take a picture, and then we're going to remove the tooth. I said,
so it's tooth pulling time. We're going to take a piece of string, tie it to the base of your tooth, tie the other end to a doorknob.
I said, wait a minute. Yeah, I like having all of them. He said, we've discussed this before. This is a bad tooth.
We're going to adjust your smile by removing a few of the teeth. We're going for the Bucky Covington look.
So he says, and he's right. You know, he had told me, like, I don't know, 5 years ago or something.
Have you experienced any pain on that without the hook being? Not, you know, you've never, like, chewed any foil or anything like that?
No, I haven't. So I'm sitting there thinking that I'm going to get, like, the clean bill of health, and the next thing I know, it's like, do you want us to put you to sleep, or do you want just the local? And
it's time for an extraction.
And the Novocaine. Wow. And I said, well, just give me the local and the Novocaine. And fascinating. Never had it done like that.
Right.
You know, he just comes in and it's just like, okay, here we go. And they do it like a real operation, even though he's like in the room 3 minutes. And it's like, yank, pulls it out and there's blood. He's like, you might not want to look.
You know? Did you get a look? Did you take a look? Did you take a picture?
G-R-O-double-S.
You see the root and all?
Yeah.
Did you save it?
No, I didn't save it, Mike. I didn't save it.
We could have made money with that.
I don't.
Do you think he still has it?
I imagine they probably have already
medical waste thing.
They don't. No, they don't. They don't subscribe to such nonsense. They just open up the window and flick it right out the window.
Yeah, it's off to the jewelry factory.
That's it. That's right. So then I'm sitting there and I say, "Great. What are we going to do now?" And he said, "Well, I guess I'll see you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's the nightmare. I'm like, what's tomorrow? He says, well, unless you want to walk around with a giant hole in your mouth, that eventually will probably start hurting. Mm-hmm. We should really do what I said, you know, 18 months ago.
Right.
So now, yes, I am among you, the toothless, the great unwashed.
Mm-hmm. Right there.
There you go.
Yeah, there it is.
See that?
You didn't.
Are you got any cotton in there or anything like that?
Not now. I got cotton. I had cotton. Mm.
All clotted up?
Yeah. All done.
And he can't suck.
Mm.
Hey. Well, because if you suck, it'll start bleeding again.
That's the problem, Mike. I really suck. I mean, I'm not bad as a human being. Mm-hmm. I suck. I understand what you're saying. Not just suck on.
So it's a little sore?
No. You know what? I would tell you, Christ, I got the lowest threshold for pain.
Right.
You know,
so tomorrow he's going to screw in a replacement. It'll be like a light bulb.
Tomorrow is the day. Fascinating radio. Bear with me for one moment on this.
Right.
Tomorrow is the day that he's just going to put in whatever the bottom part bridge is. And then on Saturday, I have to go in when I will not have to speak. You know,
yes.
When he's concerned if I have something done, you know, because I'm such a pussy that I would say, oh, my mouth hurts, I can't talk. So
he'll do the whole thing for you then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you were totally caught by surprise. You didn't think you were going to have this situation. No, how long has this tooth been a problem child?
I don't know, 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you know.
You got like maybe a crack in the filling or something.
Yeah,
like
that's how it started.
Yeah.
You know, and then every time he would say to me, don't you want, you know, he would say that it's okay, but, you know, I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with it, but don't you ever want to, like, take care of it?
Think that it's a big scam with dentists, like your guy, our guy, Dana, that maybe they, you know, they put the crack in there when they get you in there, so when you come back and then they inject a little pain juice into it.
They actually
know?
Damage people's
teeth.
Yeah,
they damage, just like, hey, if mechanics can do it to a car.
I don't think it does.
I don't think so. I think that's,
Hey, but it's always something.
That's just on me.
That might be us.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
I was just going to say, Dad, what the hell's wrong with you? I mean, that tooth would have made a great door prize at O'Mara's tomorrow.
Maybe I'll get one of the x-rays tomorrow. Mm-hmm. One of the bloody x-rays.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Bring them with me.
Or just your blood, if there's any blood in your procedure at all. Just say, would you please save the bloody gauze?
And give it to someone wearing a vial around their neck, like Billy Bob Thornton. All right, get out of here.
Bye!
Get out of here, guitar. There was one more important call that I had to make on the topic of going to the dentist today.
Joe.
Hello?
Hello, Joe.
Howdy.
Guess what?
What?
I know they're low on your scale of street, of, you know, what you can get on the street.
Right.
But I have 4 Tylenol with coatings.
Nice.
Sweet, huh? Yeah.
Those will go well with your vodkas.
Not taking them yet, Joe.
Oh, that's right. You want to save them until you get home.
Well, I'll save them until
I... There's no interest on your part, Joe?
Save them until I need them. How much would you pay me for them?
Oh, can't give those away.
Yeah.
They sell them in Canada. You can get sent to your mailbox.
Joe, when I had my Percocet...
You can't give those away. But I've got to call the doctor. I got to call the dentist.
Yeah, you got to get upgraded.
Well, what would be a legitimate upgrade, like a next step up, Joe, that might be a little better?
Well, just go top shelf, OxyContin.
But, Joe, I just had a tooth pulled. I mean, and really, I'm not in pain. I've not even taken one.
That's nothing to do with pain.
Joe, when I had my Percocet, you told me that I should let it dissolve under my tongue. What was that about?
Oh, yeah. Go straight to your head.
And, like, put it under your tongue and drink a beer? That was your advice?
Mm-hmm.
It was funny because the pharmacist didn't put that sticker on the bottle.
You crack it and let it melt under your tongue, go straight to your head. Pretty much destroys the time release of it. Just goes straight to your head.
Welcome to Dr. Joe Ardinger.
It destroys the time release.
Goes straight to your head.
Why take a narcotic that's designed to slowly enter your bloodstream when you can get it all at once?
Exactly.
Sure, Jay. Well, Mike, that's why they invented, like, you know, Jägermeister bombs.
Sure, exactly. So, kaboom, it can happen right away.
Right away.
Right.
Don,
right.
Take all 4 of them, drink a vodka, and turn on your Xbox.
Right, so
get ready to rock.
So, in your opinion, what I received today was worthless. There's no street value at all.
Nah.
You wouldn't pay me $5 each for them? No. Look at Buzz shaking at me I'm some kind of idiot.
$5 a pill.
I guess they can get these easily.
All right. See you, boys.
Good day.
Good day to you, sir. All right.
Take care, Tuesday's child.
But don't forget, we're right on the cusp
of his most energetic day of the week.
Wednesday.
He's Wednesday. Not affected by the previous or the upcoming weekend.
Joe's big day. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don, Mike, Buzz, my buddy.
Hi. Hello, hello, hello.
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 Hey, you were talking earlier about Cloris Leachman and the high anxiety. She played Nurse Diesel. Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
That's right.
With the pointy bra.
That's a great movie.
I'll let you wear my underwear.
There's Diesel.
That's a great one.
And she had the Madonna boobs before Madonna ever thought of having those.
And it wasn't Harvey Korman, the doctor?
Yes, Harvey Korman.
And they go in the first time they go in the room and they shut the door behind them and she like grabs him and pushes those big boobs into him.
And didn't she have a closet with all sorts of S&M stuff?
Yes. He was screaming, and Mel Brooks heard him and comes running down the hall, and she says something like, "It was nothing. It was nothing. It was the TV."
You know, you're right. In that movie, she does have this thing going, doesn't she?
I am Nurse Diesel.
You
suffer from high anxiety.
High anxiety.
You win. All right, get out of here.
Bye.
Get out of here. Goodbye.
It's a funny little call right there.
There was.
We got a break. So that we have plenty of time later in the show.
And it's a good idea. Nurse Diesel.
It's very close to half.
Not to be confused with Frau Bueller.
Brucker.
That's right. Frau Bueller. And she's in Young Frankenstein.
That's Frankenstein.
Yeah. I must see Frau Bueller.
You know, and then when you get to thinking that Mel Brooks is just such a genius. Well, I mean, you turn on that movie that was on one of the high-def channels. Life Stinks.
Oh, God, that was horrible.
He's a homeless guy with Madeline Kahn who, you know, for my money, you know, that's the way she looks all the time. Even when she's fixed up, she looks homeless and
right.
And yuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
What?
She looks worse now.
She does. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Day by day. Okay.
She looks much worse now, I believe.
Touche.
Yes. In her day, though, she was pretty. She had her moments.
Blazing Saddles.
She was damn funny.
As the Marlena Dietrich character.
That's right. Madeline Kahn.
When did she pass over?
She passed over a long time ago.
Like 91 or 2?
Was it 91?
Or did she pass under?
I only say passed over because somebody said that to me today.
Passed over?
At the dentist office about Frida.
Yeah.
Oh, your wife has passed over. I'm like, I said to the note.
Isn't that like get the covered wagon and fix the grub?
I know, like passed over for a job or something. It's
passed over.
Passing to the other side.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Wow. See you on the other side.
Oh, you know, speaking of that, when I went, I took my kids to the Civil War Museum over the weekend, and we went down, and they said, special exhibit, no video or photography.
Yeah.
And we walk in, and I'm with the girls, and sitting in this room were all these pictures of Civil War death pictures that they used to take with little kids. And they were real photographs. And the lady behind the counter, I swear to God, she was a Wiccan priestess. She was one of these ladies who was living it. And they were both dressed in Civil War mourning garb.
Hey, you're Father of the Year.
I forgot to tell you this yesterday.
And you let your kids roam around in a hotel room with a stranger on Friday night.
It was amazing. They're sitting there, and it's the special exhibit part of it. And I said, I immediately think, oh, my God, this is too weird. I said, well, kids, in the in Civil War days, they used to take pictures of the dead. Uh-huh. And then the lady behind the counter with these like big circles on it goes,
they still do.
And I'm like, oh, okay. I said, what are these?
These are tears. They caught the tears when mourning, and then they would sprinkle the tears on the grave later. And I'm like,
okay, we have to go right now. We have to get out of the Museum
Daddy,
of the Macabre.
Daddy, this is scaring me, Daddy.
And they were creepy. Apparently this is a traveling little Civil War show that they go around and do. It was scary.
Jesus.
I mean, really scary. And real stuff, too. They had all sorts of, including a fan, like the old Civil War fan,
right.
Where women would fan, made of human hair.
Oh, that's nice.
Bring your kids some candy. Who wants dots? Who wants snow caps?
This weekend, I'm taking the girls to the Museum of Medical Oddities. probably an institute. It's either that or the amputation station. I'm not sure which one I'm going to give
it. It's a franchise. Yes.
They'll love them both.
It's right next to Cold Stone Creamery. Hey, kids, you want to go to the amputation station?
And I'll get you some overpriced ice cream.
It'll be a great weekend. Last weekend was the Civil War dead lady.
Madeline Kahn, departed 1999-er.
Ah,
there she is.
Passed okay. over.
Passed over. Just like us. Passed over time and time again.
We know how that feels.
We got a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Wait, yo, man, come hit this right here.
No, I appreciate it, but I told my wife I wouldn't drink tonight. Besides, I got a big day tomorrow. But you guys have a great time.
A big day? Doing what?
Well, actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring. Stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Today, the only other thing that I want to tell you that really happened to me today, and there are witnesses to this, it was my fault 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I was out at the grocery store, leading my exciting life, going to Safeway,
mm-hmm.
Coming out of Safeway, got the stuff, said goodbye to AJ, not AJ Soprano, but right. The guy that works behind the counter. I said goodbye, you know, because I'm very friendly with the people in there. They're very nice.
Thanks for coming.
Get out to my car. Put the stuff in the back of the car, right. And the garage thing, the plastic garage where you push the shopping carts into.
Oh, yeah. Not a garage. That is a cart corral.
Or like a carport is really what it looks
it
like.
It's the cart corral.
The okay. cart corral. But you know what I mean.
I'm partial to calling it by its name. I'm fond of the name, the cart corral.
You know, it's the big red thing that you push the carts into.
Right. And to me, it's one of the greatest inventions in the history of grocery stores.
Yeah, oh, it's beautiful. I love
the
it.
The cart corral.
So I'm parked four spots away from the, as you call it, the cart corral.
Cart corral.
I load the stuff in the back of the SUV, and I push the door down, and I start to wheel the cart over, and I notice it's three car lengths now. And if I shoot it at kind of an angle,
right.
I'm going to be able to, and everybody does this, right? You push. So, or maybe everybody doesn't. Maybe everybody doesn't.
No, we do. You're absolutely right. I want to hear about it.
Uh-huh.
I'm just painting a really nice picture in my mind right now.
I'm three parking spots away.
All right.
And, you know, not with superhuman strength. I'm a weakling. I'm a pussy. I'm less than a man. Okay.
Were you hoping for the slope of the driveway to maybe get it there a little bit?
No, it was a flat surface.
Flat totally, surface. Okay.
Totally flat. So all I had to do was just kind of give it a right hand nudge,
uh-huh.
And then figure the thing is moving so slow. What the right. hell's going to go on?
Right.
What
can happen?
Smithers, I can push this across half the driveway. Yeah, you got it. Now we're at my level as a strong man.
All right. Okay.
So I take every bit of strength I've got.
Sweat, beads of sweat pouring down your temples.
Yeah, almost like the strongman competition. You know? I push this thing, and I notice it start to wobble towards the thing, and I turn, and I go back to shut the back roof on my SUV,
uh-huh.
And in the time it takes me, I look and I see this thing, and I knew from being in the store, it had a bum wheel. They all have a bum wheel,
yeah, right?
It's taken, on a life of its own, a left, okay? Supposed to go right.
Uh-huh.
It's taken a left. And guess what it rolls into? Right into the front of this broad's car.
Oh.
Now, it's going maybe 2 miles an hour
right.
at the time.
Enough to make a sound.
But, yeah, I mean...
Like that.
Thank you,
Shreddy. Yeah, I'm guessing probably no real way to avoid looking like you deliberately shoved it into her car.
No, so there are people there.
Is anybody in the car when you hit it?
Yes, there's the woman.
No.
She has just pulled through two parking spots, so she has, like, the front way out. You understand?
Oh, well, if she did that, then she deserves to be hit
her car was stopped.
Yes.
She had driven through the parking lot. It was 7:30 this morning.
Yes.
Dude, it was a ghost town out there. So she had pulled up, and her car was stopped, and I just heard... not exactly that. Okay, let me turn it down.
Like
it was almost like
That's maybe not enough.
That's
what that would be is the same type of collision, only far away.
We do not have a collision that...
Let me see if I can duplicate the sound that may have been made.
Go ahead.
It might sound something like this.
Yeah, but also you got to add in
rattling.
You got to add in the rattling of the
and plastic on plastic
and the wheel that's it's
here's the sound suddenly the car
like a locomotive.
So the lady gets out of her car. Okay, oh, you got one more. Right. Here's the sound of me pushing the cart back to the corral. There it is. The old lady.
Bingo.
Hello. Oh,
it was an old lady?
Yep. My day for old ladies. Oh, so she gets out of the car, and I immediately came over, and I said, I am so sorry. I said, I pushed the cart. I didn't realize it. She said, I saw you. And I said, you don't think that I tried to push the cart into your car? She said, I saw you push it.
Oh, no.
And I was sitting here. I was on the phone with my son. And I said to my son, oh, my God, there's a shopping cart coming at me. Now, you really can't win in this situation because I'm at...
Any
I'm,
damage?
No.
Any red marks on her white car?
No, it was a dark car.
A dark car, okay.
But she did do the old lady thing of getting out and,
inspecting.
Looking at the front end, and I said... Really, if there would be, it would probably be by your license plate holder. Mm. So she looked down there and she said, okay, well, hold on just a second. Oh, now, keep in mind, I've got, eggs and frozen stuff in the car. And I said, really, you're fine. She said, hold on just a second. I think right away, oh, God, what she could do? Call the cops?
Yeah.
Please. No, as it turns out, she calls her son. So I'm down virtually on my knees in front of her car. It was like an Oldsmobile Buick. So I'm like, really, ma'am, it looks fine to me. All of a sudden I hear, hold on a second. And she gives me her phone. So now I go, hello? And the guy says, who is this, please? And I said, who is this? He said, I'm the son of the woman's car you just hit. I said, first, I didn't hit your mom's car. It was a shopping cart. I was trying to push it into the thing, and it was going 2 miles an hour. There's really no damage. Right. And then the guy said to me, my mom is going to take a picture phone, a shot of the front of the car. I think it's best we swap information. I'm like, okay, dude, you want to swap information? Be my guest.
Yeah.
And so,
what's wrong with people?
So I wasn't mad because it was my fault, and maybe the guy's just protecting his mom.
Sure.
But then this is where she pisses me off because I've already said it's my fault. I'm a retard. I shouldn't have pushed the cart, and I'm sorry that it went towards her car. Really, I swear to God, it did no damage.
Right.
But anyway, I'm sorry about it. I'm remorseful.
Right.
She says she's still on the phone with the son. Right. I'm standing right there, and she says, I'm looking at him now. Well, not really. I mean, T-shirt, shorts.
Oh, my God. He wants a description?
She's profiling.
Son's a little type A.
She says, well, it is a Cadillac. And I mean, my car.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my car.
Are they planning the scam?
My car. No. Now I was thinking this. I had all the wrong thoughts. And then she says to the son, "Yes." Well, no. He came over to me. Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I see dog food. I see a big bag of dog food.
I'm like animals.
I'm like,
What, you're getting profiled?
Yeah, I guess because she was standing by...
In the back of the car appears to be some sort of plastic explosive.
She's standing by her driver's side door, and I'm still like an idiot, just like standing by the front of her car, like, what's the deal? Like, and I can't...
I want
to say to her so badly, I'm right here. I can hear you talking about it. Then she's...
While you're being profiled.
She's, okay, dear. Well, okay. I'll call you. Right. Goodbye, dear. And clicks the phone, comes over and says, puts out her hand, says, you have a nice day. And I said,
F you.
Well, yeah.
Go in. I'm sorry, I would.
Right. No, I didn't. You know.
Because it just gets to be, people get to be a little too uptight.
I didn't say F you. I think it was the sun.
Well, no, you can't say that. Especially with all that, you know, you want to just now end the thing. But, boy, people do go crazy.
But the problem is that, of course, because there's no one at the Safeway except for me, the people who work there, and, like, four other shoppers, mm-hmm. that because there is this this ruckus out in the parking lot, I noticed that all of my friends that work at Safeway, the guy that stocks the meat, and the lady who's the manager, and my friend AJ who's the cashier, and the other guy who looks like the president's aide on 24 who like stocks them, they're all standing at the window because there's no customers in there.
Right.
And it's like, I'm putting on the show for them.
Which presidential aide on 24? Mike Novick?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Except without the glasses.
Cool.
Guy's a dead ringer for Mike Novick.
All right.
So at one point, I mean, I looked up and I just looked at all of them and I waved at four people from inside the Safeway.
Wave
back. Hi.
Well, it's 7:30 in the morning. It's a show. I mean, what a great floor show.
I think they had you covered. I think if there was going to be any kind of trouble, they were going to be out there helping.
It was just me being an idiot, you know. And I do it all the time with that thing about pushing the cart.
Yeah. I think everybody is overshot and like gone for. It is kind of an athletic move where you kind of shoot for it.
You see, if it's
a great move if there are not many carts in the cart corral, because then you can aim for the big opening. If the carts are all backed up to the very end
and
of it,
Mike, this is
then you have the ricochet factor.
Mm-hmm. If I had been maybe not so lazy or didn't want to try a trick shot,
right.
I would have moved up maybe just two or three more car lengths.
Yeah, but it's not, isn't it fun, kind of? I mean, it's actually kind of fun to give it the shot. And,
it's like playing jarts.
Sure.
I mean, since jarts, I've not had a better game.
Hey, shopping carts can be a blast. I watch Jackass.
You should do what I do, and I never have that problem. I use the motorized one with the seat.
I have. Do you know I have always wanted to?
You know, it's policy.
Someday, especially if it was like really early.
Someday.
Your chances come.
Right. They won't question
you. Sooner than me, pal.
Oh, hold on.
All right.
You just missed a compliment from your good friend.
No, they won't question. They don't question anybody with anything on
really?
It. It's in the safe.
What did he say? He said, was he making they wouldn't question me?
Sooner than you think.
That was me insulting Buzz.
Oh, no. Then there was Rob who said.
I said they won't question you.
Right.
They'll let you do it.
Have you done it?
I've never done it.
But you've worked at a Safeway. You're a resident. Grocery store.
You're talking about like getting on the Rascal.
It's
getting
the Rascal
on, getting
with
on the scooter.
The cart built out the front.
Have you seen them, right? The Rascal that have the carts. I just thought it would be fun.
The one at my Safeway goes 45 miles an hour.
We've talked about the fact that at amusement parks, I believe for a long time, that people are scamming. That people use those things, you know, artificially.
All right, speaking of scamming, here is Mr. My Pills Are Worthless, Joe Ardinger. Hello, Joe.
I've used the Rascal.
Have you really?
Yeah, I have a key that starts all of them. It's a skeleton key that'll start them up. I don't even have to ask for a key.
Look at him.
Wow. And what's the street value on that key?
You can't have it. It stops elevators for me.
It's priceless.
And it opens the locker for the show.
Really? So you've actually been. What time of day would you know? Would you be? You don't do it in like rush hour in the grocery
store. No, it was like 11:30 at night.
Joe,
beer run.
That's nice.
Tired to carry the cases of beer.
Let's get this again. You have a key that opens up what?
The locker.
Okay, and besides the locker.
It opens up my toolbox at home. It starts the Rascal.
Okay, but
and it stops the elevators.
The Rascal and elevators. Yeah. That's what. Now, will it start any Rascal?
So Safeway and Giant, yeah.
How did you figure this out?
I just sat on the Rascal and said, hey, this key looks like it'll work. Put it in there and jiggled, and it turned on.
Is it one of those hollow keys? Is that the
No, it's not. It's just a plain, small,
flat key.
Yeah.
You know, people say to me sometimes, you know, about Joe Ardinger.
Yeah.
What type of an individual is it? What type of life must one lead to be 40 years old and have a basic entrance exam type job being a phone screener? That's the key.
Do you have to keep the key in the Rascal?
That's it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't pull it out until I was done. So, I mean, it's like any other
million,
lock.
I would give a million bucks to see that.
How did you end up sitting on a Rascal at a grocery store?
I was too tired.
It was late. I was on a beer run, and I was tired.
Let's say tired.
Okay. Tired. I think we all understand when you do the Dr. Evil parenthesis tired. We know what you mean. But still, how does no matter how many brain cells you've burned that particular evening, how do you, when you're sitting on it, do you pull out your, and you don't have a lot of chains on your, a lot of keys on your chain?
No, I try.
Or you have a rather small amount. How is it that you sit there and you go, hey, I think that this key might work in the Rascal?
Because this is my skeleton key. It'll stop certain elevators.
Oh, I forgot.
It opens my toolbox at home, the locker here.
How did you acquire that key?
It'll open some of the salespeople's desks.
Is it a real skeleton key where you, like, had it made or something?
No, I think I've used it so many times in so many different places, it's just kind of worn. And so
morphed.
You put it in certain locks and jiggle it, and it'll get the tumblers going.
What elevators have you stopped?
Not, it won't work on this one.
I'm not looking to place blame. I'm just curious.
It just depends on the lock.
Have you stopped an elevator with a key,
though? What was that sound?
Sure.
That was it for me.
I don't think he took a pill, Rob. I don't think he took
three
a pill.
Pills.
Three pills before he came in here?
No, he didn't buy them from me.
Right.
Maybe he's got his own.
It could be my blood pressure meds. They make me raspy.
Joe.
Right.
Just gets better and better. And it's the combination of this, of the Joe Day today and the haircut today. I think that's the combination.
I washed my hair.
Because you've gone scruffy again today. Yeah. You've gone with the extra scruffy look.
So, Joe, when did you stop an elevator using your master skeleton key?
Last time I used it, I was...
Take your time with the answer.
Well, I mean, I was either at the dentist's office or a doctor's office, and I was using the elevator... going down a few floors, and I wanted to see if my key would work in it and stop it, and it did. And it doesn't set off the alarm. So what I can do theoretically is I can go up to the office, stop the elevator, and I'll have the elevator for when I return, waiting for me.
But you'd have to leave the key in it, Joe.
No, it'll turn it off, and you can pull it out on those.
So you're saying you could go to the doctor's office, you could take the elevator to the second floor, stop the elevator, go in, have your appointment.
It'll turn it off and you can pull it out on those.
So you're saying you could go to the doctor's office, you could take the elevator to the second floor, stop the elevator, go in, have your appointment, come back out, turn the elevator on, and it would be there just for you.
Yeah, and back when I was a courier,
you're an idiot.
I used to use it in several buildings downtown.
I love you, but you're an idiot.
No, I'm efficient.
So you've tried these skeleton keys at both Safeway and Giant.
Right.
And you use the Rascals
on the scooters.
They're the same rat. I mean, they're basically the same machine.
Might work at golf carts. I see another edition of Joe Moe's where we send him out on the Rascal.
You got to go out tomorrow.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. Try it at Target.
We have
tomorrow. You have to go out with a tape recorder to different Giant, Safeways,
right.
Shoppers Food Warehouse, whatever, and see how many you can start up with your key. And all we need is just tape of you.
I guess I could do that.
Just go, you know, we're here at the local Giant.
Where
we're here at that one.
I could go to Target, Walmart, Safeway, Giant, Food Lion.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank. Whenever I'm in Washington, I listen to the Joe Show.
So you're reasonably certain that the little locks they put on all these are susceptible to your skeleton key.
Reasonably.
If we sent you out tonight, and this will be even easier for you tonight or tomorrow, because you don't have to ask anybody's permission to be taped for broadcast. You're taping yourself.
Right.
It would just be you saying, hi, Don and Mike, I'm in whatever grocery store. I'm now going to sit down on the Rascal.
Take the microphone and put it down by the Rascal so
start
we can hear you starting it up and then going.
And then drive around the store a little bit.
Sure.
And see how many stores you can get into tomorrow and start the Rascals.
Too bad Giant doesn't have an elevator.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Thank you, Joe. That's your assignment, okay? Please do your homework tonight. Okay.
And you know what's perfect is that assignment is taking place on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he should be
at his feet.
He's 100% relatively adequate.
Wonder if that key opens a jail cell.
How could a man, when I was at one of my many high-fluting cocktail parties over the weekend, someone would say to me, how could a man look like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo be 40 and have an entry-level job like working on the cook line at McDonald's?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you got to understand, Joe is a unique individual.
He truly is.
There is truly something magical about him.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's an idiot, and I hate him, but I love him. I'm so conflicted about Joe.
You think you are.
Well, yeah, I'm not the reason he's taking blood pressure, man. He's forgetting that. About you running with
him. We have a special relationship, and it's on the mend.
good.
But you know, it's just like he says something and he comes in and I'm sure he's going to torpedo what we're talking about. And look at that. Ended up being something good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as soon as he came in and said he can start Rascals with his skeleton key, you knew we had something.
Send it on with a tape recorder.
And while you're talking about mending his relationship, make sure he gets in tomorrow night, please.
Yes.
Please.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Don and Mike. Yeah. You know what? I have to give Joe's props. I think he's a genius. I think he could be a wedding crasher or somebody that could go to a business luncheon, dress in a suit, have a sandwich for free, and walk out. I think he's a genius.
There's one problem there.
Suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He still owes us.
Yeah, I mean, if you put Joe in a suit, it might resemble Lancelot Link.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, Secret Jump.
I can't get into this party.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show, howdy.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hi there.
Listen, I got a suggestion for Joe. If you're going to do this tomorrow, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Wegmans, but I believe they have an elevator and they have the cart.
They do.
You know, yeah,
the one right up here in Fairfax, they have an elevator and a cart.
Perfect. Wegman can pass.
Yeah, they also have the one in Ashburn, too. They have an elevator. And
all right.
It's a multi-floored grocery store.
Thank you. We'll send them out to Wegmans. Thank you.
And what I enjoy about going to Wegmans on the weekend, not crowded.
Hello, Don. Yeah. Don and Mike show.
Converted.
Hey.
Hi.
Okay, so how about this? A shopping cart with one of those little mini scooters in the middle of it, and just cut out some of the metal and just drive that around the parking lot.
Hold on, you had a great idea. What was that again?
Explain it again.
A shopping cart, just take some wire clippers and clip out the middle, put one of those little mini scooters right in the middle of the shopping cart and drive that around the entire parking lot.
Our mics are off now.
He can hear this. Hold on, don't respond, Joe. He's just turning the radio up now. Hear the crickets.
Now he's
just hearing.
Now we'll hear the crickets.
Was that him laughing?
Yeah. He hung up as soon as he heard the crickets.
Hi, Joe.
One thing it will not start. A bulldozer.
I didn't try.
I tried
you. You tried that, huh?
Thank you, Joe.
That would have been great.
Thank you.
Thank Christ.
I've taken out... Hey, Tracy, baby, I've taken out half the subdivision.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Good idea. Right where you guys are there in the city of Fairfax at Harris Teeter, it has both an elevator and... some of the little
stores. We have two stores.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have two stores now with an elevator and the little scooters.
Thank you. All right. Well, that's Joe's assignment for tomorrow. Oh, we got to hit a break right now.
Damn it, Tracy. I can't open the pharmacist cabinet.
Damn it.
Damn it.
Can't make my own prescription.
Okay, so tomorrow it's a whole new side of Joe. We're not sending him out with one of our lame scripts. He's not doing his man on the street thing. He's just going to be the Joe experiment.
How many Rascal scooters in supermarkets can he ride on?
Joe Knoxville.
Yeah, and then ride him downstairs. Then ride him down a flight of stairs into a bush.
Now, Robbie, you got to make sure that he has the tape recorder.
How could he possibly mess anything up?
That he tapes himself,
right?
That we hear it starting, and he's got to drive them around the store.
So it'll be all Joe.
Yep.
That's right.
What could possibly go wrong?
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chants. We have a chance national anthem.
Okay.
Ready? Stand up, chance. Okay.
Come on, Don.
Okay. I wrote this song myself. This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the chancy man. The little chancy man. How we love the chancy man. The chancy man. We love his little nosy and we love his little toes. And that is why we love the chancy man. The chancy man. Bum, 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 bum.
today, I think you're going to notice, you're having to listen to us on battery power radios. Of course, there's no electricity, there's no phone service, there's no mail, the right. banks are closed, all the kids have school days off because it's Jerry Lewis's birthday.
Hey, hey, hey!
Jerry's
wow.
80.
Wow.
He's still working it, though.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Because Bean deserves it.
I was bleeding to death. Anyway, France.
Yes.
Today formalized its love of Jerry.
Jerry!
With a unique gift for his 80th birthday. They gave him a medal and they inducted Jerry Lewis into the French Legion of Honor.
I'm sure it's quite an honor. Did Jerry travel over there for this honor?
What is wrong with those people?
I knew it could be good, and it was great for Jerry because, and you got to understand, I'm not schizophrenic, but when I write, I'm writing for him. And I know him better than anybody.
Oh my.
Of course, he's talking about himself.
His favorite subject.
To answer your question, yes, he was there.
He was there.
And yes, he wore slippers.
Did he really? They're more comfortable.
Yeah, he wore slippers.
Slippers. Was he Puffy Jerry or non-Puffy Jerry?
We don't have any pictures of him yet.
Jerry!
We just have the report.
You see, I know what works for him. When I write for him,
bleeding.
Up to that point, Jerry had concealed Percodan dependence.
Bleeding.
I walk out with Michael, and I collapse in the hallway.
Happy birthday,
and blood
Jerry.
Came from every opening I had. Eyes, nose, ears, name it. Blood flow like the damn dike opened up. What had happened was that the Percodan was concealing the pain of a grapefruit ulcer.
Happy birthday.
They had me in surgery like in 20 minutes. I was bleeding to death.
Damn right.
Bleeding. Puppy Jerry. I would like to thank the prince for giving me the problem. Thank you, French Prime Minister, for giving me the problem.
Oh, it's Jerry's birthday. Let's celebrate.
Happy 80th birthday to me.
You trying to call Perry right now?
I'm calling Gay Perry.
Come on, Miss Bean.
Bye!
You know what?
I'm sorry, that tape is too close to...
Homo!
There you go.
I miss Bean.
Who?
I miss Bean. Have you read the book Bean and Me?
Oh, that
one. Have you read the book Bean and Me?
You got to remember when Jerry Lewis was on Larry King promoting his book about Dean Martin as he's selling the thing and shopping it. He says, and look, the cover's embossed because Dean was worth it. Or
Dean deserved that.
Dean deserved that.
Dean deserved that. Could I have a number of lessons, please?
I believe
I'm bleeding to death.
Rob's on the phone right now. Anybody?
I know you're in Paris, but we're in Washington, D.C. May we put your voice on the radio?
About Jerry.
It's the Eiffel Tower. We're CBS Radio. We want to discuss Mr. Jerry Lewis.
Happy birthday, Jerry.
It's Jerry Lewis's birthday. Are you familiar with Jerry Lewis?
Of course he is. He's French.
Yeah.
Come on, get the guy permission.
Okay, can we put your voice on the radio? Will you talk on the radio?
Darn enough in English.
This FCC thing?
Uh-huh.
Say may we. Say may we. Say may we.
May we.
Isn't the FCC just full of crap?
Damn right.
I know, Mike Wallace. I know.
Okay,
well, it used to be we just called
said man,
say you're on
said
air.
Yes.
That was horrible.
Lady.
Hey, lady.
Right. Bonjour.
Let's go live now to the Eiffel Tower in Paris. Hello, bonjour, ma'am.
Bonjour. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you for joining us. We are the most powerful and popular radio hosts in all of America.
How are the French celebrating Jerry Lewis's birthday?
We love him.
Why do you love him so much?
We love him and we're missing him.
Why do you people love Jerry Lewis? Most Americans...
He's very funny.
Most Americans find him to be retarded.
Have you seen many Jerry Lewis movies?
Yeah, when I was young.
When you were a little girl?
When you were young.
Thank heaven for little girl.
Have you seen him recently?
Sorry?
Have you seen a picture of Jerry recently?
He's
They made him a member of the French Legion of Honor.
Before?
Yeah, no. They just did this today in Paris. It's Jerry Lewis's 80th birthday, and you people made him. You people, you made him in your French Legion of Honor.
Are there a lot of tourists at the Eiffel Tower today?
There are many students.
Yes.
There's a strike today.
It is a marvel of both structure and beauty.
Sorry?
Yes. Don't worry.
I just want to say that two weeks ago, we received Brad Pitt and his wife.
You received who and his wife?
Oh, Brad Pitt and his wife.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah. They received.
Would we live?
Oh, really? They came by the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah.
Really? And tell me something. How was she looking? How was Angelina Jolie looking?
Did she look pregnant?
So beautiful, so pretty.
So beautiful, so pretty. Who is prettier, Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie?
Both of them.
Do you shave?
Brad Pitt is better.
Do you shave, mademoiselle?
Do you shave your arms?
I'm not mademoiselle. Today is my fourth year of the wedding.
Madame. Okay, pardon me. Do you shave your armpits?
Sorry?
Do you shave under your arms?
I don't understand.
Honey, do you shave your armpits?
And the big cocktail dress is just flowing anyway. And a big hat.
Big hat.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
No.
No, very good. Do you drink wine?
No cigarettes. Sorry?
Do you drink wine?
No.
Do you?
Not
now,
really.
Now, honey, listen, please be honest with us and you can tell us the truth. Do you hate Americans?
No.
No, you don't.
Never.
You speak very good English.
Thanks to me. Thank you very much.
You seem like a very nice woman. You realize that most Americans hate French.
I mean, hate French?
We do. Well, let's get back to WW2.
Always back to World War II. Can you tell us everything you like about Jerry Lewis in French?
I know that he's funny, but I don't remember his films, his movies.
Well, just talk about the fact you think he's funny, but talk about it in French. Speak French,
please.
Dance.
Oui, bonjour.
Yes. Dance, monkey,
oui,
dance.
Oui, oui, speak...
Dance, French monkey.
Parlez français.
What a French made up.
Je dis quoi?
Speak French about Jerry Lewis.
And French fries.
Non, je disais que Jerry Lewis est un personnage très, très amusant.
Very funny, yeah.
It turns me off.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, more.
Donc, je disais, il est très, très amusant et beau aussi.
La vérité. Her armpits look like Cher.
Continue.
Her armpits look like, I mean, like the hair on Cher's head.
Continue, s'il vous plaît.
Yes, good, very good, Rob.
Continue, s'il vous plaît.
Comment?
Continue, s'il vous plaît.
Je continue?
Oui.
Oui.
Donc, je disais que Jerry Lewis est très beau et très amusant. Là, il a vieilli un peu, mais il est toujours beau.
Oui, oui.
Brad Pitt est beau aussi.
Oui, oui, oui.
Mon ami.
Oui, oui. Est-ce que vous pensez Jerry Lewis est mort?
Comment?
I asked her if she thought Jerry Lewis was dead.
Dead?
Dead. No, he's not dead. You must come stateside sometime. We have an Eiffel Tower in King's Dominion.
Shut up, Rob.
What are you serving to eat at the Eiffel Tower today?
Today is very cold.
Oh, very good. You have two restaurants, right?
I don't know. I'm not working at the restaurant.
Oh.
I'm working at the carousel.
Are you wearing
the carousel? Ah.
Are you wearing undergarments?
The lingerie?
Are you wearing a brassiere?
All French words in clever.
Et beret. Mm-hmm.
And you talk about Jerry Lewis or Brazilian.
Are you wearing panties?
The panties? The crotchless panties?
The thong? The delightful thong?
Didn't you hate Steve Martin as the Pink Panther?
Oui.
Oui.
Inspector Clouseau.
Oui.
He sucked. Are you having fun today?
Sorry?
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Oui.
Did you bathe this morning?
When is the last time you had a good soaking?
This morning.
This morning. And right now, currently, I
told you that's my fourth year of wedded.
Oh, fourth that's year right. Wedded. It's
yeah.
Late at night.
Oh, right.
How do your feet smell right now? Do your feet smell good?
very good.
Ah, very good.
Now listen, here's something I know we can agree on. Do you think George Bush is an idiot?
Yes.
Yes. The international language.
The leader of idiots.
See, there you go with the anti-Americans.
I prefer Bill Clinton.
Ah, Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
tell me something. He was in Paris.
Would you like to have sex with Clinton?
No.
What if he asked you to? What if he came to you?
I prefer Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks?
Would you make love with Tom Hanks?
I wish.
Wow, okay. That's an interesting choice.
It's a friend's choice. Tom Hanks as what? Like in Castaway?
That's the one.
when he was
getting in Castaway.
And here's an honest question for you.
Babe.
Does it ever bother your self-esteem that whenever you think of anything great, like a man you'd like to make love with, he's an American, he's a president, he's Bill Clinton. When you think of a movie star, of course you think of Tom Hanks because he's American.
Here goes Johnny Patriot waving the flag now.
Do you ever sit over there in your little guarded wonderland and wonder what it's like to live in the greatest nation in the free world, the United States of America? Do you know how much we kick your guys' ass in every possible way? Really, we're the greatest. We are simply the greatest. And without us, you guys still would be skid marks coming out of Hitler's underpants.
My God, we were having such
a
nice conversation.
Pardon me, madame?
Pardon? What about the others?
The others?
Well, we're not talking to the others right now. We're just talking to you about your country.
Do you know how cheap Coca-Cola is over here? They practically give it away.
Listen, I've been to your country. I've been to your country, and I found it to be wonderful.
Yes.
Except most people don't want to own up about that whole Hitler thing.
They don't speak English.
Well, no, we tried.
Yeah, we went all over Nice.
We tried. Really, though, do you think... I mean, I'm not kidding you now. I'm not kidding you this time, kids. I think America is the greatest nation in the world. No lie, no BS.
Uh-huh.
Do you think France is the greatest country in the world?
I'm not French, sorry.
Oh, you're not French?
No, I'm not French. I'm living in France.
Where are you? Where are you
Italian.
From? You're Italian.
Damn right.
Wow. How many
Viva Italia.
Viva Italia.
Viva Italia.
How many languages do you speak?
Sorry?
How many languages do you speak?
Not very well. I speak many languages, but not very well because of my work.
How many do you speak a little bit of? How many languages do you speak a little bit?
Hello. I speak English.
English, French, Italian,
Arabic.
Arabic?
Wow.
Italian,
Spanish, and a little bit of Portuguese.
I would like to see your angel hair pasta. Your sweet angel hair. See, and Mike, you had it right. You said earlier that she sounded almost, there was something Italian about her. Mm-hmm. Honey, listen, paisan, if you're an Italian, like we all are, what are you doing kissing the French people's ass?
No, I don't like French people. French men, no.
Oh, see, she's not.
Like ladies.
She's not.
Like ladies.
Beautiful. Oh, wow. Where in Italy are you from? Where are you from in Italy?
Sorry?
Where are you from in Italy?
Oh, my father is Algerian and my mother is from Napoli.
Napoli.
Yeah.
And not Napoli. To pick at the scab, but even, you know, there's still World War II issues at play here.
Some might say even more significant ones.
Yeah.
Well, I've always had France at number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and besides, you can't get, you know, listen, let's face it. What's not good about Italy?
All right.
Except for the thing with WWE.
Good times, good times.
You never saw Charles de Gaulle riding around in a car with Hitler, though. That's the thing.
All right, so they had their Mussolini.
Yeah, they had the Mussolini factory, but they killed Mussolini.
They hung him out, didn't they? Yeah.
Hung him by his heels.
Yeah. Hey, come on. How about thin crust pizza?
Yeah.
Come on.
Love it.
Ooh. Let's give it up for Italy.
And right. The crust with the cheese in it now?
Oh, yes.
And Jessica Simpson's
and
cheese balls.
No stick. Do you like the Olive Garden?
Sorry?
No, don't worry about it.
We have a restaurant in America. The greatest Italian restaurant in America is called the Olive Garden.
They give you all the breadsticks you want.
And salad.
Unlimited. Is it unlimited?
It's unlimited salad and breadsticks.
And again, free refills on the Coke.
And you know, whenever we go,
it's all about the beverages with you,
like,
isn't it?
It's very expensive in Europe.
No Diet Coke, right?
Like in the commercials. The last time I was there with my entire family, we were eating some of that great scampi or whatever it is. Mm. And someone mentioned that, oh, Mama had given the special recipe for that.
No, Mama. Mama.
What is your first name?
Alfredo.
What is your first name?
Patrice. No, with double T, huh?
Patrice?
Just one T.
Patrice.
Oh, sweetie.
Patrice.
No, S-A-T-Y.
Do you know an Italian man that we all know here? You might have heard the name.
Sorry?
Johnny Constantino.
Sir, you're an Italian.
How did you get my our phone number?
Well, it's listed, honey, under Tower.
Eiffel
Tower.
Oh, I'm so a bad. Happy clown. Happy clown in France.
Is Rome burning?
Oh, the French. I can hear your carousel. I can hear your carousel in the background.
But Mike, speak to her in your Italian voice.
I can hear your carousel in the background.
Hey, yeah, right. Yeah, do you like the
You hear the music.
Oui.
Do you like the greatest American mobster of all time, Tony Soprano?
Tony Soprano.
He's wanted by the FBI. He's the number one criminal in America. He's a very famous Italian man.
And he just got shot by Uncle June.
He actually was in Italy in season two. Don't you remember season two? He came over there.
Yeah, and how's Furio doing?
We don't know him.
Is Furio hiding over there?
Did he come to Paris? No.
You like cannolis?
Sorry?
You like cannoli?
Cannelloni.
Oh, boy.
Honey, what about the show Joey?
Shut up, Rob. Honey, why do they call it Italian ice?
Come on?
Why do they call it Italian ice?
Iron ice.
Well, what it is, it's a snow cone. Why do they call it Italian ice?
I don't understand. Iron ice.
Hey, can you sing a song for us?
Which song?
Any song you want. Sing a song for us in any language. Sing your favorite song in any language.
How about That's Amore? When the moon hits your eye, like a
big pizza pie, that's amore.
No, hear that music and sing for me.
She's holding up the phone to the carousel.
You hear?
Oui.
Oui.
Alors, c'est quelle chanson?
Do you like,
Dominique, Nika, Nika. Isn't that a French song?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, kind of. Sing a song for us.
Which one?
Where's any Lord's song you want.
Rob, where's the Lord's Prayer?
The song of the carousel.
She doesn't seem carousel. To want to sing. No. We're having a breakdown of communication.
I understand, but with...
Oh.
And, I'm sorry, that's...
She's gone.
That's it, she's...
So she speaks Arabic,
Bye.
Italian, French, English...
Spanish,
Portuguese, and she's at the Eiffel Tower in France.
The Italians have taken over the Eiffel Tower.
The Italians have.
Happy birthday, Jerry.
Percodan is addictive. I'm in London doing Royal Command Performance. And I have a bookie who takes my bets for horse races in London. And I told him my problem, that England doesn't have what I need, and I'm running out. He said, it's okay, I'll get a bloke for you. Okay. He tells me that if I go to Green's Delicatessen in Soho at midnight after my show, a man will come over to me and bring me 10 Percodan. He said, just bring cash.
Damn right.
Fine. He brought me 10. I gave him $1,000. I had the 10 Percodan that only took me through 3/4 of the next day.
Damn right.
That's how bad it was. So I'm getting in terrible trouble now because the Percodan is not even working.
Don and Mike, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Simmer down and relax. I'm sure that we won't have to have another little talk like this again. Am I correct in assuming this?
Well, without question, you absolutely, yes, we'll never have to correct our talk. We won't ever speak. That is, we'll never have to talk again. We just never will discuss talking. We shouldn't really converse about speaking.
Professor, our discussion has come to an end.
What do we have now here? But Joe's got like 8,000 lines on hold. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Why did Joe put you on hold? Hello?
Why did Joe put me on hold?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, Buzz, that's a fine-looking shirt, man. Don't let him give you any trouble. I think you guys already read my email.
Oh, is Joe just putting up a bunch of people now who are calling with porno titles?
Well, that's what I called in for. I don't know what he's putting
up. All right.
Okay, let's just find out what the deal is. I'll just find out what's going on in the back room.
This is John.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Where's your retarded brother?
Right here. Hello?
Hello. Joe.
Might be what I believe the longest exchange in broadcasting, the handoff of that phone.
I'm going to
pull a mic now.
Rob, seriously, how far apart are they in that room? Just how close are they to each other?
18 inches.
It's like they're on a love seat.
Exactly.
I'm going to pull a mic and I'm going to give you an out. Are you putting these up because these are the only things people are calling with?
Well, yeah, I got like five of them in a row, so I figured if you wanted to take them, you could, and if you didn't,
right, well,
I'd drop them.
Are there any killer ones, Joe?
Of course not.
Okay. Listen, Dumas, then don't put... It's one thing if we take...
But I don't know what's
funny.
That's
the first thing you said today that's true. You don't know what's funny.
Right.
Okay. So if you get something and you're not sure it's Slap Nuts funny, ask your half-retarded brother back there, John, what he thinks of it.
Okay.
Okay? Because if Mike and I are walking through the minefield, then we're going to take unscreened calls.
Don't involve me in this, please. This is not my... I don't have a dog in this fight.
Oh, no. Yes, you do, because if I'm taking the unscreened calls, my friend, you and I could step on that landmine at the same moment.
Yeah, that's true.
And the next thing you know, we'd be going, Captain Dan!
That was just kind of a Joe joke, you know? You know, because when Joe and I had that moment...
Well, Mike,
you
should know, mm-hmm. if it ever comes down to it.
Yeah.
I'm on your side no matter what. I think you know.
I know.
Didn't I?
But you know, with the whole mending fences thing, whenever Joe's getting yelled at, if you've noticed, I kind of take a back seat to it. I used to pile on a lot more than I do now. I used to pile on all the time.
No, listen, Joe, just you know, think about your job tomorrow, going to the various grocery stores to see if your skeleton key turns on the complimentary Rascal scooters they have.
Oh, I am. I'm
think about that.
Plan already, but
think about that because we'll take it if we're taking unscreened calls and they just suck. But you're killing us when you screen the stuff that stinks and you know that it stinks.
Well, are we done with porno names then?
We were done with porno names when we got done with that segment.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
So I'll get rid of these guys.
Well, no, if you thought that, hold on.
I wasn't going to say that, but I was thinking it.
If you thought that, why did you put them up after the segment was over when we moved on to a new segment?
Well, because sometimes it's been my experience that when we rejoin, you take just a couple more to see what's out there.
Yeah, I do, but I like taking those unscreened.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Goodbye.
All right, then. Very well.
Okay, goodbye.
Good day.
Good day.
So many parameters.
You know. I'd like to fire him, but then, you know, what's he going to do?
Where's the fun in that?
Come on. Yeah, right.
Are you insane?
John and Mike show. You know, what's sad is that Joe probably is more irreplaceable than just about anybody on the show, only because where are you going to find somebody else to work for no money to come in, to come in, take our crap, and answer the telephones.
And still be lovely.
Where are you going to find somebody who has such low standards for themselves?
Right.
They would come in and work in this environment every day. It's got to be.
And therein lies the love, the charm. Therein lies the fact that every night there's not a night I go to sleep without agonizing over the fact that he can't work with me.
Hello, Donna. But Mike, I told you. Remember, when it comes down to you and Joe.
Yes.
I have no better way of saying this to you. Mm-hmm. L-U-O.
L-U-O?
From me to you.
Yeah.
You know that. If you ever need it.
Right.
I'm there for you. L-U-O.
L-U-O.
Lie under oath. All you got to do is just tell me.
Right.
I remember the day. Yes, Your Honor, I remember the day Joe came in and spilled hot coffee all over Mike on purpose.
There we are. Yeah, well, you've told me that in private. Now I appreciate you making
it
public.
Honor. You should know that.
Yeah, and then, of course, I have to do that whole thing where I really burn myself to make it look real.
Right. Well, if you got to pull an Artie Bucco.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to pull.
The sauce!
Oh, hey, hold on. Let's take this call that we're talking about Artie Bucco. Hello, Don and Mike Show. I heard you burping. What's up?
Are you there?
Don, Mike.
Yes.
Hey, you just said Captain Dan. It's Lieutenant Dan, Mike. Don.
That was Don. Excuse me. Gosh, anytime you make a mistake at your whatever it must be feeble job, it must really bother you when someone comes up and says, you know that hallway upstairs, downstairs that you were cleaning up? You missed just one small piece of dirt in the corner.
When I mop the hallway, I don't miss nothing.
I know you don't, but the real criticism is when somebody says, hey, there's something left on that finger.
Yeah, you got to stop that plane, Jack.
There's something left on that finger.
Listen, screw off! We're doing great radio. You wanna bust my balls? Go to hell! You're not a listener. You're not a friend. You're not funny. It's Captain Dan. It's Lieutenant Dan. It's General Dan.
We don't give a rat's ass.
The
I love you, Dan.
Shut up!
I love you.
I hate you!
Oh, have the kisses, Dan.
I'm tired of playing your games. Your call meant nothing to me. It was totally a charade. Mm-hmm. Goodbye. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Anything else?
That is all.
I mean, really. But I'm not act with you. But really, there's a part of me that does say, you know, really, hey, a-hole, and I wish I could use the word. Really, what are you doing, just busting balls?
No, what he's doing is he's living vicariously through us on the radio. He's getting his moment.
I'm doing a show.
This is his moment. He may never have this moment.
Something you could never understand, doing something on the fly in front of people where, yes, you let everything hang out. You let everything hang out. So what?
I'm hanging out right now.
No, there's no reasoning with him.
Oh,
he wants to be here, don't you?
I'm sorry.
You want to be doing what we're doing. That's the real issue.
I'm not
wrong with that, but that's the truth.
I'm really not trying to argue with you, and I'm not saying that I'm beneath criticism, although I believe I am, but...
Above criticism.
Whatever.
Right.
But here's the deal. It's like, dude, you take the time to pick up the show, to pick the phone and go, hey, Don... Not Lieutenant Dan, it's Captain Dan. Well, you give a frig. I mean, the day that I come on and I say, we've invaded Iran instead of Iraq. Okay, then call up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that that's a little more important? Really, you're wasting all of our collective time. And
it's Lieutenant Dan.
Shut up!
Dan.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut your mouth! I'm tired of screaming at people and having people say, well, how come you're so mean to your listeners? The answer is this. The stupid ones we cannot always make appear to be a funny bit. So I'm asking now, on behalf of everybody that loves this show and everybody that works on the show, stupid people like you, don't call, please. I beg you. You heard a mistake. Let it go. I wish I could be big enough to let it go, but I can't because I take the unscreened calls, and then what am I supposed to do every time some ass calls, try to look at Mike and say, how can we make this funny? How can we make this funny? Here's another dumb guy who thinks he's funny. How can we make this funny? I mean, really, if you want to criticize, if you want to correct, do it on something that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Please, do you understand what I'm speaking to you now, I swear to Christ, as honestly as I can. Dude, we're having a fantastic show today. I will rebound from this. Trust me, this call is not going to throw off my equilibrium. But God damn it, people like you really are ruining this show. Christ, we do a show. If we screw up one word, don't call. And don't say, I love you, Don. Don't go! Do you get me? Oh, hung up.
Of course he didn't.
Really?
But that's a good thing. No, that is a good thing. That he hung up.
Yeah.
Now, where are my roses?
Bravo. That was great. It's one of the more heartfelt and intense performances I've ever seen.
Ooh, I'd like to...
Do you need a beverage?
I'd like to thank the Academy. I'd like to thank Harvey Weinstein.
They don't own Miramax.
Everybody at Miramax that got behind this project, when they said, just yelling at your listeners wouldn't work. I said, you know, sometimes maybe it would. And I also want to thank my good friend, Mike.
Yes.
who was behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Would you put it away already?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I want the meat tray.
Yeah. I want to thank Mike. Was sitting over the whole time. Sometimes when I scream at people, he looks at me like, what are you doing? Today it was like, yes, brother.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the tray of cured meats. I appreciate that. It's delightful.
Ah,
that's wonderful. It feels good, though, too. That's a twofold performance. Not only does it, does it get people's attention, but it also feels good, doesn't it?
I mean,
it really, really feels good. Absolutely. Because there's no way, ladies and gentlemen, of actually reaching through the phone line and hitting someone with a baseball bat.
Sadly,
so
no.
that is the equivalent, right?
I mean,
there.
When you take a lot of calls like we do, it's a given that you're going to have to deal with some people who, you know, piss you off or just want to bust balls. But really, sometimes it gets to be impossible. Like, we're on a good roll, and that's all. Well, I've made my point. I've screamed. I've yelled.
He went away.
And that's what you all really want. Isn't
you it? Drove him away, which is what I wanted. I really wanted him to hang up. I wanted you to drive him off the phone. I wanted you actually to be throwing the basketball at his chest and just keep, going to cry? Going to cry.
He should be crying now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope he is crying.
Captain Dan. Hey, Don. And was it? Now
you're holding on to it a little too much.
Hello, Pot. This is Kettle. How are you doing?
I think you got it out of your system, though. I truly do. I think you totally got out of it. Unless you want to talk about it more.
It does feel good.
A good one. That was a real good one.
It do, really. I mean, Christ, don't slow us. You know what? If we're having a show that really sucks one day, go ahead. Because, you know, sometimes a good argument really helps to spice it up.
Sure.
Like, we're on a good roll today. Come on, we had the good porno segment on. We got all the good stuff going. We got this Lieutenant Dan, Captain Dan. Jesus Christ.
I didn't see that one coming. I wish I could
be one of those guys that would be big enough to go, hey, well, thank you very much. But the point is that the guy sits on the phone like, hey, I want to tell him something.
Well, you know what he does? He hears that. And then he goes,
Right.
Get the phone.
Seriously, I have news for you. Someday, I don't mean to sound like Gary Hart, a monkey business.
Mm-hmm.
Someday, follow me around. I screw things up all the time. This is my life.
And your point right at the end there, and I think it's valid, is that on this show, we take a lot of heat because we're rough on the listeners. But at the same time, we take a lot of crap from our listeners, and sometimes it does go over that critical mass point, especially when we're, you know, when we're all in here trying to climb that mountain again, when we're all doing this. And that's just really what you're doing is you're serving us up something where we have to extricate ourselves from that. We have to take that correction call, which has no other need in it but letting people know, I know this, and they screwed up. I am sitting there with my pants around my ankles, and they got something wrong. And other than that, other than his own personal gratification,
right?
That's it. It's all on us after that. He throws that little grenade into our world, and then that's it. We have to deal with it.
I just got to say this one time, and I'll just say it. You know, because it seems people love to correct me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I speak with confidence, because I am self-assured, people love to call and say, you can dish it out, but you can't take it. Does anybody listen to this show? Pretty much my topic every day on myself is I'm a despicable human being. I mean, I don't need some of you BM eaters calling me up telling me I suck. Did you not hear what I said today? I went to the dentist, made an ass of myself at the dentist, talked bad about the people at the dentist, got a bad tooth. I'm missing a tooth. I brought that in to you asses. Then I did the thing in the parking lot. Who's the bad guy? Me. Did I say I was an idiot? Yes. Have I said I'm repulsive? Yes. Christ, I know it. I don't need to hear it from you. I suck, but I don't suck as bad as some of you listening. You get what I'm saying? So don't give me that whole, you can dish it out, but you can't take it. Listen to the friggin' show someday from beginning to end. You know the people that we are hardest on?
And it's, you know why we are? Because it's so easy.
Yeah,
it's the easiest thing in the world.
Speaking for myself, I'm a mess. And I'm not talking about my underpants.
I'm on meth.
Well, that's included sometimes for both of us, though.
Listen to me. You want to call up and tell me I got something about a movie wrong? I got life wrong!
Oh, incidentally, speaking of that last reference,
yeah,
heard a great, great new word. I don't know if I'm not original with this. A shart.
Oh, yeah.
Figure it out, ladies and gentlemen. It requires no explanation at all. I shart. I heard it. Now, look. And here we go. It's another example. I know there are a lot of people listening right now that will call us. That's been around for a whole long time. Well, it wasn't to me.
Right.
To me, somebody said, I was at a party last week, and I sharted. And I heard somebody shart.
I just heard it for the first time when you said it. Uh-huh. And you know
I
what?
Sharted, and it's fantastic.
It will now become a part of our vernacular.
Right. So any of you shart heads out there that want to call and tell me this has been around a while, well, it's not been around a while for me. And that's what makes life interesting, because every day you can learn something new.
That's
no
right.
Shard,
I sharted. And now we can use that word because it's not on any list, okay?
Eat
shart for brains.
Eat shard and die.
Right.
Now what are you doing?
Did he just say it?
Jesus. You know what? I swear to God, I just threw something at him.
I didn't hit it.
No, he...
I did not hit it.
Then why are you sitting with your finger right by the button? Mike did not say the F word.
No.
Or the S word.
No. All right.
No.
Really?
I said the new word.
Why didn't hit it?
Short. Well, then, why'd you sit there with your butt finger right on the button, like, look at me, like, well, should I hit it? No, he all didn't right. say it.
All right.
Please.
It's a new word. It's an acceptable word.
What are you looking at, Buzz?
I'm looking at my paper towel.
Is there any shard on it?
No, it's shard-free, actually.
It's perfectly, even if we repeat that, that's not a word.
Right. Of course not.
It's perfectly acceptable.
That's right. All right, so you didn't hit the button.
Did not hit it.
All right, well, then I take back throwing the papers at you.
That's all right.
I'm sorry our relationship has now become physically abusive.
It had to happen eventually.
You know it had to happen.
You are still my best friend,
right.
But occasionally I'm, you know, I got to throw something at
you. Look at his face. Look at it.
Yeah,
so sad. He's a sad boy.
Got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ooh, the shark babe has such teeth, dear, and he shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Mac Heath, babe, and he keeps it out of sight. So you know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, oh, where's old Mac Heath, babe? So there's never a trace of red. Hey, yeah. Now on the sidewalk, oh, hey. Sunny morning, lies a body just oozing life. Hey, and someone's sneaking round the corner. Could that someone be Mac the Knife? Hey, hey, there's a tugboat, hey, hey, down by the river, don't you know? Where a cement bank's just a drooping on down. Cement is it's just for the weight, dear. Five will get you ten. Ooh, that Maggie's back in town. Nasty dear by Louis Miller. He disappeared, babe. After drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie spends just like a Mackie's back in town.
Keith is back, yeah.
Unfortunately, Mike, my brother can't win.
Yeah, that's true.
The game called The Big Lie, because he's related to me.
Yes.
Although it would be a great one for this game.
Yeah. Employees and their families ineligible.
So you get what's going on here. You call us up and you tell us a lie that you've told somebody.
Right? Yeah, and you got to come clean on it. That's how you win.
Mm-hmm. And the lie's got to be one that we like, we find entertaining, and then in some way we find so bad at the same time, so cruel that, yeah, we got to call. We got to confront you with the person.
Absolutely.
And as I mentioned, we're giving away the trip to San Francisco. The 3-day trip.
Alcatraz.
San Francisco, courtesy of Fox TV.
Tempting as it may be, don't lie to us.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi, welcome to The Big Lie.
Hey, guys. It's Jason.
Hi, Jason, hi. Where are you from?
I'm actually from Philadelphia.
Okay, and your big lie is?
Well, I kind of got fired from my first job from a movie theater for stealing money, and I never told my mom about it.
Oh, that was loud and decisive.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Go in
no.
peace.
You didn't tell your mommy.
I didn't tell my mommy.
Didn't like that lie, Jay?
I didn't like that.
Not thick enough?
Hey, yeah. I'm doing another Michael Jackson joke. Yeah.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Mike.
Yeah, hello. We're here. Who's this?
This is Ed.
All right, Ed, what's your big lie?
Well, I took a bunch of money off the credit card at the ATMs. And my wife caught me, and I told her I had a gambling problem, but I actually took the money and went out to the local brothel here in Vegas, out in Pahrump, and spent it there.
Out in where?
In Pahrump, where the
Pahrump, you know where that
Pahrump.
That's what
is that like the little drummer boy Pahrump?
Yeah,
pump.
I know it's Pahrump, like, you know, Pahrump, like how much you pay per piece.
$100 Pahrump.
How much Pahrump?
And that's the classic husband-wife, tell them something that's, like, not as bad to mask. That gives it credibility to me.
Yeah, so you figure your wife will accept the fact that you're a degenerate gambler, but will not accept the fact that...
Sadly, yes.
Okay, you're a finalist. Hold on a second. Although, listen, here's the one question I have, because we generally don't deal in infidelities on The Big Lie.
But,
however, the guy's talking about legalized prostitution.
Yes, he is. And, so that kind of, I think that's an exemption.
Where were you from, Reno or Vegas?
Vegas.
All right, hold on a second.
How long ago did this happen, Ed?
2 months.
How much?
2 months ago.
Can I ask how much?
$1,900.
Ooh-hoo. Okay, now for $1,900... I got to know, what did she do?
Well, I went out there a couple times, and one time I enjoyed the pleasure of two women, and then once was just around the world.
Yeah, but $1,900, I mean, for $1,900, listen, I don't care how good the sex is. Mm-hmm. You know, she better make me dinner and breakfast.
How many visits, really?
There was two.
Two visits, one with a two girl and once around the world.
So you mean you paid...
How much was the two girl?
That was $1,100.
And how much was the around the world?
The other one was $800.
Hold on a second. What kind of a... How do these places stay in business? If you want to get laid by two women, you go and they say it's $1,100?
Yes.
Not that I'm any expert on this, but when we were out in Reno, was it like $15 each or
something? That's what I paid.
I mean, it just sounds pricey.
Well, we did a show from the Bunny Ranch.
Yes,
right?
Did.
Was that where we went?
Yeah.
Was the Chicken Ranch?
No,
the Bunny Ranch.
The Bunny Ranch.
Bunny Ranch.
Yeah, I think you can get a better deal if you use a coupon.
Yeah. Well, they hand out coupons, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
You buy one of those entertainment books. And...
So, Ed, here's the thing. I mean, $1,000, I don't care how good the sex is. $1,000 is a lot to pay to get laid once. That's the only reason my crap detector's going off.
Well, mine is going off for the obvious reasons. Why, Ed, why would you want to tell your wife this on a national radio show?
I've never been to San Francisco.
Question mark?
Dot, dot, dot. You're trailing.
Now, he started out the overall line, but I think he was lying from the very beginning.
You know what? He started out with good attention to detail, though. He started strong.
And the around the world thing, I think you can see that on one of their little cards.
Sure.
Right? Yeah,
hello, Don and Mike Show.
The menu. I wouldn't know that myself.
Has nothing to do with travel.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Ahmed from Fairfax.
Hi, Ahmed. First off, let me just say we're going to have to profile you just based on your name.
I understand. A long-time listener from WAVA.
Right on. Thank you. And Ahmed, what is the lie? Is it a lie against the United States of America?
I promise you it's not, but okay. It is a lie. Okay. It is a lie against my wife.
Your wife?
We got married about 3 years ago. When we got married, she told me she wanted a very expensive diamond ring.
Very expensive diamond ring.
Mm-hmm. We went shopping together. She picked out a ring. Went back a little while later. I told her I found her even a better ring. It turned out she thinks I spent about $10,000 on the ring. I spent about $800 on a fake diamond.
Okay, what did you do with the extra $9,200?
Yeah. She did not know about that. I mean, it was all...
Because you hadn't been married yet, so she didn't need to know where the money was.
Exactly. But it gets a little bit worse in the fact that...
Okay, hold on. Let me stop you for a second and say that it was my experience. I bought my wife the engagement ring and the wedding ring.
Right.
If she thought it cost 10 grand or 5 grand, whatever it was, you get it insured or you go to someone...
You get it appraised.
Yeah, that's...
Your wife's a very sharp person, and she would do that. Did your wife... what about that, Ahmed?
Absolutely no insurance nor appraisal.
Oh. She says she's been wearing the ring ever since?
She's been wearing the ring on her finger right now. But it gets little bit worse.
All right, what else?
At least two of her friends have come and asked me if it's a real diamond because she's going off and showing it off to everybody. But I think there's some people that could actually tell.
See, now that's what I wondered. Like,
so you got it like one of those imposter stores?
No.
Where?
Where'd you get it then?
Carrots.
Oh, is that a...
That's one of our fine sponsors.
Oh, okay. Thank
Carrots.
You, Buzz.
Wait a minute, Ahmed. You're getting a rock. So if you got it at a regular jewelry store, you didn't get it like zirconia or anything, did you?
No. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I know it's not a real diamond. It's not glossy.
You want to throw him away, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
He doesn't even know what he bought. Come on. He's talking in circles.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Kathy.
Hi there, Kathy. What's your lie?
Well, I about 26 years ago, two friends and I took my mom's car out at lunch. We worked at the same hospital, and we were smoking cigarettes in the front seat, and apparently one of us slicked one out the window, and it went in the back, and we parked the car, and the car got burned up, completely burned up, and... I convinced her that the window must have been cracked and a passerby must have tossed a cigarette in there.
Listen, Kathy, it's 26 years ago, honey.
Yeah.
Listen, say two Hail Marys tonight, you're fine.
And tell your mom tonight, okay?
Don't tell her. Yeah, don't tell her.
No, you think it'll upset her too much?
Why screw with your mom's confidence?
Right. After 26 years.
Let it go. Just say a Hail Mary and forget about it. Thank you, though.
Keep the secret.
Thank you.
Thank Donnie Benedict.
Do you think she still smokes?
Smoking. No problem, dear.
26 years.
Smoking. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Ends up in my throat. Sorry. Hello.
With a cigarette.
Hello.
Cigarette butt.
Hello.
Butt.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Yes. You're on the air. Who is this?
This is Sarah.
Hi there, Sarah. What's your big lie?
Well, me and my boyfriend have been going out for about, like, I don't know, probably 30 and a half years now.
How old are you, Sarah?
18.
Like 18. Okay, so you've been going out for like 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most of high school.
Yeah.
And,
did you finish high school, Sarah?
Huh?
Did you finish high school, Sarah?
No, not yet. Like in a month or so.
How many kids you have?
None.
Okay, just kidding.
Okay, so like, what's the lie?
Well, for about like four months now, my best friend Nicole and me have been having a relationship.
Sarah's about ready to set off the grammar alarm.
This is almost like if I pick up the telephone and I'm trying to eavesdrop on what my kid's saying when he's back from college. Right. And he's talking to one of his friends, and it's like there's just so many likes. And,
you know.
And it's like this and like, and honey, let's cut to the chase, darling. What is
about
it?
To.
What is it? What's the lie?
Well, I've been going out with actually my best friend for the past 4 months while I've still been with my boyfriend, Andrew.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, but you're a high school girl.
Yeah.
That's what kids do in high school.
Honey, you're a high school girl. Listen, you little whore. I'm old enough to be your grandfather. So go away. And cross your legs, for God's sakes. You stupid whore.
It was hot lesbian
love. Some 18-year-old whore calling it. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's okay if you're an 18-year-old whore. Just be a high school graduate, at least.
See what's wrong.
Well, she said she hadn't finished yet. So maybe she's one of the, let's see, we've got, it's April. Yeah, 18. She could have just turned 8. Oh, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. Jesus. Hello. Hit the books.
Don and Mike Show, hello.
Hey, Radio Gods.
Hi there. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Scott.
Scott, what's your lie, my friend?
Well, it's similar to the guy who just called about the wedding thing. This is with my fiance. I bought a ring that had a really big diamond on it, but I knew that the ring would be too small for her finger, so that I knew she'd have to bring it back to the jeweler and have it resized and everything, and I've arranged to have the diamond switched with a cubic zirconium.
But you've not done it yet.
No, she has it.
She has the zirconia now?
Yeah, she hasn't had it for a long time.
Well, wait, hold on. How would
how do you arrange? How do you talk to some evil jeweler in an alley?
How do you switch
an
out?
Evil jeweler.
How do you switch out a real diamond? What kind of jeweler switches out a real diamond for a fake one?
I told the guy that it was too much and I wanted something cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
The original ring was around $3,000, and the cubic zirconium version of it, it's only about...
You know what? It's not even an original lie. I mean, you know what I mean? It's not an original idea.
I can't help that the other guy beat me
to it. You're right. Just let me noodle this through for a second. So you go to the store, and now you're there with the girl, and does she see the $3,000 ring?
Oh, yeah. That's what I proposed to her with.
Wow. So you proposed to her with the ring. She has to take it back to get it sized, and you... make a side deal with the jeweler?
Okay, now this is where I need the information, because I don't see the jeweler saying, I'd be glad to take back a $3,000 ring and give you a 25-cent ring. Right? I mean, why would the jeweler do that?
I told him I couldn't afford the ring.
They wouldn't do that.
They don't, dude, I got news for you. I bought a car one time. This is very embarrassing. I bought a Porsche, and I couldn't afford it. And I hid it from my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife made me take it back to the dealership. And I walked in with it, and I said, I can't afford this car. And they didn't say to me, okay, we'll give you a Fiat. You know what they said? Okay, we'll see your ass in court.
Exactly.
Because you bought the car, stupid.
Did you make the ring purchase in front of your fiancé?
No, when I bought it first, it was by myself. I was going to surprise her with it. Right.
How did you pay for the ring?
Credit card.
Why not just give her the zirconia to start with?
Well, she wanted a diamond.
So, at the store...
This doesn't make any sense.
At the store, why would the guy... What's in it for the guy at the store to give you a cheap ring, and did you get money back?
Yeah, he credited my card.
I don't believe it.
No way.
See, I kept the band. The band is still the same.
Okay, what did the guy in the store get out of it? What does he get out of the deal?
I don't know. I convinced him.
You're not
no, in that
name.
Case, why not just buy a zirconia ring and she goes to get it sized?
Well,
and just tell her, don't say anything about the zirconia.
I'm just hoping when she gets it back. Well, I mean, I'm going to tell her now.
She hasn't gotten it back yet.
No. She has it. I mean,
dude, you know, you're the worst liar in the world, and you're lying to us.
I don't believe you, because I don't believe that you would buy a ring, go into the jewelry store, tell the guy I couldn't afford it, and he would give it back and credit
your
account.
If you come clean with us, you're off the hook, because once during every big lie, we give somebody a prize that is at least honest with us. Are you ready to break your silence here?
Well, I'm telling you the truth, but... I'll say whatever you guys want me to say.
No, this guy won't let it go.
Ask him to say goodbye.
Hold on. I tell you what. Off the air, give Joe the name of the jeweler.
Okay.
And we'll call the jeweler off the air and ask the guy off. I promise we won't say the name of the place.
Wait, but hold on. Has your fiance gotten the ring back yet?
Yeah, she has it now.
You said she hadn't gotten it back yet. You said that a minute ago.
Yeah.
No.
You just said
she
that.
She picked it up.
No, but you just
said she didn't have it yet.
Mike did ask you that 2 minutes ago.
I'm telling you, she has it, and she hasn't noticed anything yet.
So why did the guy tell me when you went in and said to the guy at the jewelry store, the big-hearted jewelry guy, when you said to him, hey, I got a $3,000 ring and I can't afford it, even though he'd already sold it to you, how did he say to you, tell me what he said?
He said, what I said was, you know, I'd like to keep the band. The band is very nice. I can't afford the stone.
Right.
And it would be my experience that anybody in the store would say, listen, you bought it, you know.
No, but what did he say to you after you said the band is nice, but I can't afford the stone? And first of all, the bands on engagement rings, aren't they all the same anyway, really? There's not a lot of variety in the bands. I mean, you can get elaborate ones, but by and large, your standard wedding
just a little.
That's actually not true. I mean, this one has
here
like,
we go.
Two little diamonds.
I'm giving the liar a little alley here. Sorry about that.
How much did it cost to have the ring reset?
That was around $350.
$3.50?
No, $350 with the new stone in place.
Right.
So how much did the total fake ring end up costing you?
$1,150.
And how much did you get back credited to your credit card?
$1,850.
And why don't you announce the name of this jeweler? Because I'm sure everybody in the world wants to go now and buy an expensive piece of jewelry and walk in and get their money back. Just to, and not only that, but be given a fake one.
I want him to do that on the air because I don't believe him. He's not telling the truth.
Well, I don't want to do that on the air to this guy.
No, but the fact is, wait, you're doing it. If you had to, you're going through a step you didn't have to go through. You're buying. It's not like she wasn't standing next to you when you bought the ring.
Right.
She won't know the difference between a $3,000 ring and an $1,100 ring.
Well, she really examined it when I gave
it to her. Okay, so then why are you switching it now? Won't she examine it when she gets it back?
Honestly, right now, I can't afford it.
That's not the question I asked. Won't she examine it when she gets it back, Mr. Liar?
My thought was that she wouldn't. I mean,
here's my thought. Hold on and give the name of the jewelry store to Joe.
Okay.
And I give you my word, we won't say it on the air, I promise, but we'll call the jewelry store and we'll ask them.
Okay.
If you're on the up and up, you'd be a fan.
And we'll get your full name and all that.
Right.
All right, hold on a second, liar. Okay. Joe, that's on line.
Tough guy just thinks he's going to do it.
Line number
thinks
two.
Thinks he's just so savvy.
The only reason I don't believe it is you don't buy a high-ticket item and then go back.
No, it doesn't work that way. Hey, listen, I'm buying a $3,000 diamond. I'm going to take it home to her. She's going to look at it. Then she's going to bring it back into size, and you switch out the stone. That doesn't happen.
Here now is Queen of the Broken Hearts.
Thanks. How many jewelers let you take
a ring that you're going to return?
How many people let you leave with the merchandise without you paying for it?
A jeweler wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'm sorry if my immaturity is offended.
I would love to get like a jeweler to call us and find out what's going on.
I'll find out what Joe's doing.
Because that guy changed his story also twice during the telling.
Hello, Don and Mike, are you there?
Hi, yes I am.
Hiya. Oh my God, we spent time with that guy. We got a break. What's your name?
Catherine.
Catherine, what's your big lie?
Well, for about 10 years, I was teaching at a medical school, and I was teaching medical students how to do breast exams, except my husband didn't know they were actually doing the breast exams on me. He thought they were doing it on plastic silicone. He thought I was lecturing and that they were using plastic silicone models.
Are you supposed to do it that way? Just to make sure?
No, no, I am. This is a very noble profession.
Oh, yes, my God, but your hubby wouldn't have liked it?
And everything.
That's awesome!
How many guys, women, felt you up?
Hundreds, perhaps a thousand.
Stand by.
A 10-year period
of time. Oh, my God.
Catherine, stand by. You're a finalist.
Okay.
Hold on through this break.
Oh, my God. Honey.
He's a teacher.
You know how many men's hands have been on my breasts?
Now, would it be women that would be touching her breasts?
It would be men and women.
She taught at medical school.
Makes it even more exciting.
She said they used, regular dummies when it was her.
Imagine that.
Wow.
Okay, now today we're going to learn about the signs for breast cancer.
I'm ready.
My name is Beth Ann McBride, and I will be your instructor for this course.
That is awesome. Hey, you know, every time we play this game, we get one.
Are you part of this being?
Completely unique.
All right, maybe she'll be the winner. Or maybe we'll find out what's going on with the guy from the jewelry store.
All right.
Either way, as the DJs say, stay there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You want a Mac?
Power 95, Maze Patrol lines open for your convenience at 381-1420. In 3 years, she's gone from like a virgin to a pistol-waving mama. The lady has the moves, and I got the motion, and together we'll be causing such a commotion that the authorities will love to run us out of town. Madonna from Power 95. Power 95 with Amaze. Hi, who is this?
I shouldn't tell you.
Why? Do I know you?
Yes, you do.
Have I seen you before?
Oh, yes. Many times.
Many times?
Many times.
I don't recognize a voice. Okay, is this Marianne?
No.
Have I had fun with you within the past 2 months?
Yes.
Okay, that cuts it down to 1,000. Are you Michelle?
No.
Are you Katie?
No.
Are you Annette?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm waiting for you.
Because of you, I'll be right over. Power 95 with the Maze, getting ready to step out in style. Got my clean shirt on, knee shoes, silk suit, black tie. My diamond ring is on, grab my top hat and coat and my white gloves. Ladies come running as fast as they can, because they're crazy about a sharp-dressed man. ZZ Top and High Class from Power 95. Power 95, Kalamazoo weather. I know spring is just a couple of weeks away, but it's still going to be a tad cool driving around town with your top down tonight under clear skies, low 25. For Friday, halfway decent, mixed clouds with a high 50. Right now, 45 downtown, 41 at the airport, and 42 at Power 95. Base patrol lines open, 381-1420. Kalamazoo's power connection is Power 95 WKPR Kalamazoo. Mays at 5 p.m. with more of your favorites on the way from Whitney Houston, Bruce Springsteen, and Whitesnake from Compact Disc. Plus your chance to win a weekend for two to Los Angeles in minutes. So keep in touch on your power connection. Power 95. Power 95 KPR. Tigers take on the White Sox this afternoon in Florida in baseball action, while the Pistons are in Dixie doing battle with San Antonio, and the NCAA regional semifinals get underway tonight in Pontiac. Here's Michael. Power 95, Maze on a roll at 5:37. I knew very early in life I was different when my parents told me I was born at night, carrying a microphone and wearing sunglasses, ready to party. Corey Hart off the power lines from KPR.
Let's get back to the big lie.
Thank you.
Now, we're pretty sure that the person we're going to go with the big lies is Lady Catherine.
Now, that is without question one of the most unique lies we have ever had on the big lie.
True. However, we have to bring you up to date on the guy with the ring.
Yes, please. We'd like to know.
Well, guess what? He's dropped off.
He had to go.
But we got a bunch of numbers. We're going to try to track down his girlfriend, Joe.
Hello.
Hello, Joe.
Joe.
Joe, what's the deal with the guy with the whole thing with the ring and the cubic zirconia getting the money back from the jeweler?
Well, he gave me the name of a jeweler in New Jersey, and he thought he bought it in one town, but the jeweler's website had no sites in that town.
Huh. Right.
And then I said, well, that's okay. Maybe we can work through it and figure out where you got it. And then suddenly he was talking to someone in the background, asking for a few minutes, and then he said, oh, gee, I gotta go.
All right, well, Joe,
it was classic liar style, you know.
Yeah.
There's somebody talking to him, but I don't hear anybody. You know?
Right. Do you still have the alleged girlfriend's number?
Yeah, I gave it to Rob.
Okay, we'll call her in a second.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, hold on, very exciting.
Thanks, Joe.
Sure.
But
please, there should be punishment.
Maybe we can work through it.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Catherine. That's the lady's name. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Now, Catherine is a lady that let hundreds of men and women touch her bosom.
Dedicated teacher.
And your husband's name, Catherine, is?
Jeff.
Now, Catherine, are you an MD?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so you taught the little doctors growing up, huh?
Correct, medical students.
Just to recap what this lie is, if you've just gotten into your car, it's a great one. She works teaching doctors.
Worked.
Yeah, worked. And would teach them about how to diagnose breast cancer.
Right.
And what she would do is she would whip off her top and let guys and girls feel her up.
I'm sorry, I just saw something on the window there. It was like something was shadow dancing there. I couldn't help myself.
Was it Andy Gibb?
I don't know what it was.
Shadow dancing.
It was scary.
Andy Gibb.
All right, go ahead. Yes.
No, Mike, what are you looking at?
It was like somebody had a stick outside the window. I don't know what they were doing.
That means the angry mob that's out there every night at the end of our show.
To some guy with a big stick, but go ahead. I digress. I'm sorry.
So Catherine.
Yes.
Catherine would be in this class, and she would let men and women.
Uh-huh.
Touch her breast.
And you told your husband, and how many years ago is this, Catherine?
Oh, you know, it was a while ago.
The celebrity you most resemble?
No, I don't know about that, but it was quite a while
ago.
Well,
come on, give us a guess.
Just how about back in the day, Catherine?
Maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah. 10 years ago.
Maybe 10, 15 years ago.
10, 15 years ago, you told your husband that you taught them how to do these breast examinations on a model.
Correct.
All right. And not a model like a fashion model, a rubber model.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
Hundreds of people?
I would think so, yeah. Uh-huh.
And who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
I just couldn't even give it a wild guess.
Just make one up, Catherine. It'll make the story better.
Okay, Don's favorite, Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston. Yeah. There you go.
It is a better story.
It is a much better story. Yeah.
Probably any Kleenex.
As long as it's not Jill Clayburgh.
Okay. And in that case, I'd need more Kleenex. To wipe off her nose.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, hold on, Catherine.
All right, we're going to call Catherine's husband, Jeff, and let Catherine come clean on this story.
Is this Jeff on the phone?
Yeah.
This time she's going to get something offered.
Incidentally,
Jeff.
You know, the story is so good that my crap detector completely shut down.
Me too. Hello, Jeff?
Yeah.
Hi, Jeff. This is Don and Mike. We're doing a radio show right now. You're on the air, and we have your wife, Catherine, on the other line.
Catherine, say hi to Jeff.
Oh, hold on, Mike. I got it.
Sorry about that.
There you go. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Say hi to your husband. There you go. You guys say hi to each other.
Hi, Jeff.
Okay, now this is where we are just going to leave you to. Catherine, I'm going to turn the microphones off so Mike and I cannot be heard by you and Jeff. Jeff, Catherine has something she wants to tell you. It's a little game we play called The Big Lie.
Okay.
It sounds like Jeff's cruising at 70,000 feet.
Jeff, are your windows open or closed?
Closed.
Are you on a speaker or hands-free?
Yeah, I'm on a hands-free.
Any chance you could pick up, Jeff, so we could hear you a little better?
I guess. Hold on.
Thank you.
That'd be great.
Meanwhile, let me figure out what's going on. Because she's on, like, the Darth Vader line. I got to be careful with because
right.
See, I turn her all the way up, and I'm going to get this thing out.
Yeah,
can you hear that, Catherine?
Yes, I do.
And you have it, too.
Hi, Luke. I'm your father.
All right, let's see. Jeff?
How's that?
That's better, Jeff.
Much better.
Much
now,
better.
Without further ado... Catherine, go ahead, talk to your husband.
Hi, Jeff.
Yeah.
I know we don't have a good connection, so I hope you can hear me okay. So, you know, as Don and Mike said, this is called The Big Lie, and I'm calling to tell you about something. Do you remember when we were living in California and I was teaching at those medical schools?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I was... involved in women's health care and teaching, you know, breast exams.
She cannot hear us, Mike.
And I know what I communicated to you was that, because I know you were, you know, kind of curious as to how this worked, that it was a lecture and slides and a discussion group, and that they had these great, like, plastic breast models that had lumps in them and things that the medical students would practice on.
Right.
But the real story is that the medical students were practicing on me.
What do you mean?
Not the plastic. Well...
What do you mean practicing on you?
Well, like we would go into the exam room, I would put on a gown and, you know, whatever, if there were, you know, two or three or four medical students at that session, then I would actually talk them through how to do the breast exam as if they were, you know, with a patient, but instead they were practicing on my breast.
So you're lecturing to a class while you're getting an exam yourself.
Right. Well, it wasn't, I mean, it was a small groups at a time. So maybe three or four students in a room with me at a time.
All right, now we're going to break in. And Catherine, ask you, over the total time you were teaching, how many students, male and female, do you think touched your breasts?
Hundreds. I did this for 10 years or more, so.
Jeff, your initial reaction to that, how do you feel about that?
I'm wondering if they all wash their hands.
Of course you are.
Now, I believe this.
Yeah, I do too. Well, you know, here's the deal. I mean, if there's lacking credibility, a med student would call us, and we got a million of them out there in the audience that would call us and let us know. I think she's totally legit. Yeah.
And,
wow.
You know.
And what, Catherine?
I think just, you know, I was like a little nervous because we had just moved to California and we really, you know, didn't
needed the money. And you do it. You do what a lot of women do. That's okay, honey. Don't.
Hey, you know what? You're helping the medical community, Catherine.
Don't feel bad about that. That you had to sell your body.
It's a very noble profession.
Yeah, very noble, Catherine. Do you feel like there's a load off your shoulders or your breasts right now? Glad to get that off your chest.
You know, I've been carrying this around a long time.
Yeah.
And even if it, so to speak, and, you know, even if it, you know, sometimes it comes up in conversation, you know, Jeff and I will be talking about California or something, and it'll come up in conversation, and, you know, my stomach gets a little churny because I'm thinking, oh, man.
Okay. I believe her. I really do believe her.
And I really should have been up front. I think he probably would have been fine with it. But back then, that was, you know, that was 10, 15 years ago. Times were different.
You were up front in your own way.
That actually answers a couple of questions, too, you know.
Like what?
Why her breasts are always so tender.
Okay, we got a winner.
Man, I tell you, if they're faking it, it's the best fake we've ever had.
We got a winner. Jeff, nice talking to you, my friend. I'll let you talk to your wife about this.
Okay.
All right, see you later, dude.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And you, well, Catherine, look at you. Are you ready for this? Congratulations. You want a trip for two to San Francisco, three nights hotel accommodations at the Monaco,
nice.
And you get tickets to Tour Alcatraz and the Cops DVD 3-pack. Comes to you courtesy of Cops. The 600th episode is the first of four all-new episodes that air in a celebratory Cop-a-thon Saturday, April 30, this Saturday, starting at 8 and ending at 10 Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
On Fox.
Congratulations, Catherine.
Didn't they sometimes call your class the Cop-a-thon?
Oh, Rob, you're such a
wit. Oh, nice.
Thank you, Catherine. Thanks for listening, honey.
Keep us abreast.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
Okay.
Have a great time in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Homo. Okay. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Rockin' the restoration.
It's 8:30 on the reservation with Ernie Starr. Good morning, here's some AC/DC to get your day started right. With you this morning. How you doing? Reservation time to get up and get at 'em. If you got a job to go to today, it's going to be tough if you're working outside. Not a very good day. Kind of gray, kind of overcast. Let's take a look at the forecast.
Reservation weather.
As a matter of fact, 30% chance of rain today. Look for a high of 6, low overnight tonight of 0, and a chance of frost. Cover up the stinkweed. Winds west today, 37, gusting to 55, 40% chance of showers. So overnight tonight, weekend's going to be cloudy and cool. Stay in and stay warm today if you can. 6 degrees right now.
I'm rocking 99.
Are you ever bothered by itchy feet and foot odor in your moccasins? Well, no problem. This is Ernie Catface for Dr. Shaw's Foot Powder. And you can get your very own foot powder right at the Brocket General Store. Sprinkle a little bit in the moccasin and it rubs out the greeblies in there. If you haven't taken a bath for a couple of days, just put it in. No problem. There's a big sale on it. And you can pick yours up for only $14.99 a bottle at the Brockett General Store, 14th Avenue South, down by the Big Teepee in Brockett. Ever find yourself sitting around wondering, hey, what are we going to do tonight? Well, wonder no more, because you can get ripped if you go down to the 7-Eleven and pick up Lysol spray, either unscented or plain.
Of course, you can't get it in the Brocket General Store, but you can just zip into Cardston and get some at the Red Rooster. And if you're looking for something hot, listen, pack it from one who knows. So how can you argue with that? Get down to the Red Rooster store in Cardston and pick up your can of Lysol today. Either regular or fresh scent too that comes in the blue can. This is Ernie Crying Head for Lysol.
23 before 9.
Mark Horowitz. Website is...
Rob, we don't need any more applause for him.
IneedToStopSoon.com. He's ready for our call. We don't have to tell him he's on the air. He's starting his tour of America with his list of things he wants to do.
Sure.
Now, let's see. It starts... What's today? The 2nd? It starts on the 7th in San Francisco. Going to be having dinner or lunch with a guy named Larry Harvey. Am I reading this right, Rob?
Yeah, as you recall, he was helping on a catalog shoot, and he wrote his name and phone number in an ad for a bulletin board, and it said Dinner with Mark.
And it was like a Pottery Barn catalog or something like that.
And he got literally thousands of calls, and now he's trying to have dinner with everyone.
So the deal is, if you got this Pottery Barn, and I don't know what the store is, if you got this Pottery Barn catalog and noticed in one of the ads there was a guy's phone number written on the wall,
right,
and you read the catalog, thought, why is there a phone number there,
uh-huh,
and called the phone number, you'd reach this guy.
He never changed his number. He took every call.
Wow. And then, after you read the catalog, saw there was a guy's phone number on the photo shoot, called him up, and made contact with him, now he's driving around the country to have dinner with these people.
Yes, and ask him about his sweet RV.
Yeah, this is the same guy that I like this idea where he came up with the mystery bags of change.
Oh, he's got lots of ideas.
Fill bags with change and sell them for $5. You might be lucky and get $8 worth, or you might only get $4.
Great ideas.
He's a nut. Horowitz.
The first of, how many times has Letterman on, Johnny?
Like 9 or 15?
No, more than like 28. First of at least 28 appearances now.
Hello?
In this year. Oh, I got to do that.
Mark? Hi, Mark. Mark, are you there?
Oh, missed him. God damn.
He had a very interesting hello.
Damn, these big, meaty fingers.
He was probably down in his laboratory.
If only my sensual, big, thick fingers were not as big or thick or sensual.
Disconnecting Mark with those man hands.
These hands.
Those hams.
Which could provide such pleasure.
To any woman.
Or man.
Stop it, Rob. Or man. let's see if he's there.
I'm a man.
Flesh and bone.
Hello.
Mark.
Yes?
It's Don and Mike. Sorry about that. We're having a problem with our phones.
How are you, Mark Horowitz?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I lied, Mark.
Talk.
It was my big fingers.
Yes, Don disconnected you by accident.
My big, meaty fingers.
That's fine.
Mark Horowitz. You are now going across the country to have dinner with all the people who saw your phone number in the catalog, right?
Yes.
What was the catalog again, Mark?
It was Crate and Barrel.
Ah,
Crate and Barrel, and you were on the little chalkboard, right?
That's it. And they've since fired me, which is awesome.
They've hired you at Crate and Barrel?
They fired you. Yeah, they just said my little stunt wasn't any good, and they cost me my job.
Really?
Wow, that's interesting.
What is your sweet RV like that you're driving around the country to have dinner with these people in?
Oh, man, that thing is amazing. I'm actually looking at it right now. It's across the street. I'm giving it a jingle can spray paint job. It's the best one you've ever seen.
What is a jingle can spray paint job?
Jingle can is spray paint, you know? The little jingling thing it makes when you shake it.
Ball, like the ball bearings going together.
Wait a minute, so you're not getting it professionally done. You're spray painting your van?
Sure.
Yeah.
His RV, Mike.
Your RV.
I'm on a very limited budget now that I'm fired, you know.
What would be the estimated value of the RV, Mark?
Well, you know, I bought it for $2,200. I'm saying it's going to be worth about $4,000 now.
$4,000. Wow. So you've really spruced it up.
What have you done to make this RV $1,800 more profitable?
Well, the jingle can job looks great, and I've repaired all the leaks. It had a fuel leak. And all the propane tanks are in place now.
Yeah.
Working stove, working bathroom, working hot water, cold water.
Now, when you drive around America, and I notice you're starting here in Northern California, and then as February continues, you go to Santa Barbara.
I don't think he's leaving the state of California.
Laguna Beach. Oh, is it just an in-state thing?
Just for the month of February. Then I'm going to come back and regroup.
But he does. He does go
for the rest of the year.
He does go as far south as San Diego.
San Diego. Well, what color is the RV painted, Mark?
But it's cream. It's called Wimbledon White.
Of course,
actually.
Wimbledon White.
What?
At any auto parts store.
What type of cheese does the interior smell like?
Yes, it smells terrible. So I cleaned it with one of those professional carpet cleaning vacuums. It was awful when I bought it.
Yeah.
And a hippie had been living in it for about 3 years.
Oh, dear.
Just to give you an idea, I had to rip out all the carpet. It was flea ridden. It was terrible, man.
It was very hippie, buddy.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Mark.
Let's see. You have dinner dates on the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, the 13th, the 14th. These people that you've contacted, now, you're just going to pull up in front of their house? Are you going to have the meal in their driveway? What's the protocol? How do you handle this thing?
Well, the first meeting I'm having is with the creator of Burning Man, Larry Harvey, and he actually lives pretty close by. So his house, he says, is a big mess. So we're going to have dinner in the RV, and so that's the only one that's going to be in the RV. The other ones, I've kind of invited myself into these people's homes.
Now, do these people, you say you've invited yourself, but do these people initially contact you first?
Yes. Everybody contacted me first, and then, you know, since I have no budget anymore, we're going to have to cook either in their house or in the RV. And so most people want to cook inside.
When you say you have no budget, you're launching yourself on this little tour, this whirlwind tour. Do you have any money to your name now?
I have about $2,500.
For the whole thing?
For the whole thing.
Good luck.
I'm having a benefit party over here. The guitarist from Primus is coming by and going to play.
Hey, maybe Ross Valerie can show up. He's in Northern California.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be fantastic.
Do you like Journey?
Yeah, I love Journey.
Yeah. Ross is probably listening right now.
Way.
What about one of your other great ideas that you've just sent to us? One of your new ideas, Fortune Cookie Cereal.
Oh, man, that is a fabulous idea. That's a million-dollar idea right there, and it's right out there on the Internet.
What do you do about the wet paper?
Well, see, that's the thing. I considered that. So you print different words on each cookie so you can make your own fortunes while you're eating your cereal. You know, you just push them around with your spoon.
Brilliant. Oh, so they're not actually on paper, the fortune.
No, I think that would be really disgusting. You'd be eating a lot of paper. Either that or you could make them on that edible rice paper or something, but it would dissolve in the milk.
Mark, what about your idea to do a documentary on the process of making fake plants?
Now, that would be fantastic. So I would go into...
Now, tell us why that would be fantastic.
Yeah, why would that be?
I'm totally fascinated with fake plants. Every office I go into has them.
Uh-huh.
So you would just go to the factory and, you know, meet the guy who actually designed these fake plants and just see what a character he would be.
Yeah,
we can imagine.
Can you imagine the designer of fake plants?
How about that?
That'd be something.
Here's another idea that Mark has just told us about.
Uh-huh.
His clothing line based on failures. He wants to sell T-shirts that say, one T-shirt says, I quit early.
This one, this is one idea that doesn't bother me.
One T-shirt says, I steal.
Hmm.
Another one says, I've made bad decisions. Another one says, please talk to me, I'm creepy.
These are pretty good ideas. Now, is this something you... that might be a little foreign to you, something you're actually going to pursue?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to have to start to pursue some of these ideas.
You have a lot of ideas, Mark. Do you fancy yourself a motivated person?
I'm very motivated, yes.
Very motivated. Is there any particular job you've finished?
That's a fine question. But, I consider myself very motivated, but at the same time, I'm very easily distracted.
That's one way of looking at it.
Are you at all concerned that any one of these people that saw your phone number that you put in this ad inadvertently, I mean, you meant to, but the people who run Crate and Barrel didn't know. Have you ever thought that one of these people that got your phone number and called you and that you're going to drive to their house and have dinner with them, have you ever thought that they're going to get in your RV and just cut your head off?
I have considered that. So I bought a two-barrel shotgun and loaded with rock salt. No, I haven't done that. I thought about that, though. I thought about carrying a shotgun. But You know, I don't think so. I've talked to everybody on the phone personally, and they seem all right.
Yeah.
People know.
Because you can always tell over the telephone if someone seems okay.
And Mark, I'm curious about your mystery bag of change. You haven't implemented this idea, have you?
I have not done that yet. That's going to be an incredible idea. I think I should do it on the road.
Yeah.
I should just post up in some small town like Bishop, California, and sit on the side of the freeway with these bags of change.
Look at what he just put on his website here. It says, below is my schedule for the first leg of the tour. This is driving around California having dinner with these people. I need your input and participation. Not everyone is committed. If you have any friends in these places along the route that would be interested in the project, let me know. Even if we just have time to meet for a cup of coffee. Also, please let me know of interesting sights along the way. If you like, I can stop by your hometown and visit your high school to make a morning announcement stating that you're okay and you send your best. Or I can stop by the house you grew up in and take a picture for you. You, Mark, dude. It's Ross Valerie's 56th birthday today.
Wow.
Oh, is it really? I've just been handed this emergency note by Joe Ardinger.
Joe's Ross's biggest fan.
That today is Ross Valerie's 56th birthday.
Happy birthday, Ross.
Well, happy birthday.
Mark, are you still taking applications for people to dine with you?
Yes, absolutely. I'm looking for people. You know, I get a lot of calls based around large cities and things like that, so I'm looking for people in smaller towns.
What about the ladies,
you're on
Mark?
The right, you're on the right show for that.
What about the ladies?
If you want to reach small towns and not big cities, let me just say.
The Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
Are you looking for love, too, Mark?
No, I'm not looking for love. I mean, you know, I could meet my wife. You know, I don't know. But I don't think it's a project to meet a love of my life. I think I can do that at the bus stop if I want to or wherever else.
When you're sketching out the grand plan for the tour, Mark, who buys the groceries? Does the guest, you, buy the groceries?
That's a great
question,
Robbie.
Or does the host
Robbie.
Buy the groceries?
Fine question. I mean,
That's a fine question.
That is a very fine. I mean, I guess I could split it with the people. You know, I don't think I could buy the whole dinner.
And if the opportunity presents itself on this trip, will you make the beast in the in your RV?
It's not even possible, man. I mean, nobody would go into that thing and want to make the love, you know?
Really? Is that bad?
It's kind of
you're going to eat in it?
Yeah, if people are going to be having dinner in there, why wouldn't it be acceptable to make love in there?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't have any sheets. I mean, it's all like this brown, nasty interior.
That's a fine point.
You know, it wouldn't be right, you know? It just wouldn't be that right special place.
But I'm glad that the stove works.
Yes, the stove works great.
All right, well, let's see. He's going to be heading to...
What will you cook?
San Francisco, then Monterey, Santa Barbara, L.A., down to San Diego, and then back home to San Francisco.
Yep, I'm going to cross in through 395 to Bishop, California.
And what are you hoping to get out of this tour, Mark?
You know, I'm really not sure.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get a ton of stories, I guess.
It's a good plan.
I'm going to bring I'm bringing a writer friend with me.
Documented.
Good to have a witness.
Yeah.
Good to have an alibi.
Mark,
you can carry the shotgun.
Do you think yourself as a modern-day hippie?
I don't know. That's a fine question, too.
Fine question.
You know, I'm trying to grow a mustache, so man, if that makes me a hippie, I think that's... Sure.
No, you know what you got? You got like the Lynyrd Skynyrd fan sideburns. I mean, you've got like the Dukes of Hazzard. I love Dukes of Hazzard sideburns. Those big things, those big Elvis things
mutton
that go
chop.
Right all the way down the side of your face.
Yes.
And eyes that say, I've been at the business end of a fatty all day.
Well, he didn't contradict me, did he? He didn't deny it. If somebody that you're having dinner with said to you after dinner, hey, let's spark up, what would you say?
Hey, let's spark up. Yeah, you know, I would have no problem with
it. There's a shock.
Fine question, Don.
There's a shock.
I can't deny that, especially in California. Come on.
Yeah, right? It's California.
Yeah, of course. California, it's everywhere. All right, well, Mark, thank you again for being on the show. Your website is ineedtostopsoon.com.
Yes, we need more Americans like you, Mark.
Amen.
Contributing virtually nothing to society but enjoying themselves the whole time.
That's exactly it. Yeah, and so, yeah, if people are more than welcome to call me. I just boosted my minutes up to 4,500 minutes. I had a $900 phone bill.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to give out your phone number?
Yeah, go ahead. It would be very interesting to see what happens.
You mean the number that we called you on?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's okay.
Sure.
You're going to get some calls.
Dude, I mean, I said that we were a small town show, and we aren't, but we do have 6 million listeners.
You're going to be very busy after we give this phone number out, Mark.
I'd like to see it. I just would like to see what happens.
All right. Here it comes. Area code 510-872-7326. And listen, if you can't write it down, this is not like one of our bad callers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put his phone number in the daily recap
right.
on DonandMikeWebsite.com.
And ladies, you heard him. He might be the Marion kind.
That's right.
Great talking to you, Mark.
Okay, wish me luck.
Again, everybody, his phone number, and he wants you to call him.
We wish you luck for the next 10 minutes.
510. 510 area code.
Here I come.
872.
I'm already, right?
7326. Yeah. Do you have a call waiting? Can you go take one and then come back and tell us what one of our listeners said to you?
Yeah, sure, I'll take it.
All right, go ahead. We'll wait.
All right, go. Let him go do that.
Let's make the beast.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, baby.
I'm in Northern California.
I'm Brenda.
All right, who wants to bet? I don't know whether they'll tell him or not, but I bet that first call is Sacramento.
Guaranteed.
Oh, almost a slam dunk.
Guaranteed.
Of course.
First call Sacramento. I'm going to guess first call D.C.
D.C., okay.
Mm, or how would he even know? How would he even know?
Well, he should have the caller ID. You should see an area code.
Mark, you there?
No.
Oh, my God, he's been killed already.
It may be difficult.
So it was a guy named Fran.
Where was he from?
He's from D.C., and he's a
real... Don is the big winner.
Yeah,
Don
winner I am. Big winner. Anyway, what did he say?
I just said, I'm the first caller, and that's it, really. Yeah.
Was that before or after he asked you for your liver?
Nice.
Nice.
Get used to it.
Nice. All right, Mark, we'll check in with you soon.
Yeah, hopefully you don't see my liver on eBay.
No, I hope not.
Thank you, Mark. Hopefully.
All right, goodbye. All right, talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Hippie.
Can't believe we bought my RV.
This is the Don and Mike Show.